a world where geeking out never looked so good. Two incredibly sexy men will rise for your auditory pleasure. Here's your hosts, Wacho and Vibe. Keeping up with the Geek Bros.
It's a Wednesday. Sorry you missed us last week. Vibe was going through some emotional pain. Vegan life is not the same for him. He's meatless, and you must understand.
Meatless.
What's going on, guys? What's going on? This is Juancho.
This is Vibe.
This is episode numero 18. We missed a week because Vibe has been going vegan and he's been going issues, and then
that's got nothing to do with it.
And then,
okay,
you know, things happen.
We canceled one day and then we were scheduled, and then Juancho couldn't do it because he had, you know, family life or whatever it is he claimed, and so we just basically ruined our 17 weeks in a row, and we skipped.
But let's be honest. Wednesdays are podcasts, and you couldn't do it.
What was my excuse again? I forget.
A football game.
That's true, but there really was, okay? Joey Fire had a football game, and I had to take him there, and it lasts forever.
Vibe has a mask on that looks like he's a tropical spermatozoan.
For those of you that are listening and you should be checking this out a week later, but if you look at my face, what I've got is a Yes Coco face mask on. So, in segue from the fact that I had to cancel the podcast recording on Wednesday, my son also, Joey Fire, had another game on Saturday. Now, it wasn't a very hot Saturday, but what happened was that I was sitting in the bleachers, and the sun was overhead, and I was wearing sunglasses. And even though I didn't feel the heat, my face got sunburn damaged to the point where I took off the sunglasses and you saw the outline of the non-tanned sunglasses on my face. My face is peeling, it is burnt, and it hurts. So, on that note, Juancho was asked to get me an aloe vera cream, and instead he brought me this coconut mask, which is tingly, burning, and it feels like somebody basically put a whole bunch of antiseptic wipes all over my face.
You smell very coconutty.
I smell delicious, yes. So, before we get started, Juancho didn't let me cook today, so on the menu, if you're watching next week, which you should be, YouTube, whatever, I made the frozen key lime margarita mix from a leftover margarita mix that I got from Key Largo. So you're actually looking at the fruits of the labor, and it has a rim of organic sugar. Juancho, yes. Let's take a moment. Let's sip it.
I've been sipping. I don't want to sip anymore. Well, we'll sip it again.
Well, sip it and tell me what you think.
Sour. It's so sour.
That tastes better than the first time I made it. I won't even lie to you. This is not very good. I'm not even going to lie. It's not very good. But it's better than the first one. The first one I made was terrible. So, cheers to those that are watching on YouTube. And cheers to you for listening to us on WeBeGeeksPC.com, ViveRevStudios.com, or iTunes,
Google Play.com,
and Stitcher.org. So, Juancho, you got a question to ask me.
What's going on with your life, bro?
Oh, how was your weekend?
Very good. Chilled.
Awesome.
Oh, actually,
awesome.
And I worked on my midterm.
Okay, very good, very good. For me, again, I already told you guys, I got severe sunburn damage all over my face.
You want to tell me about your back, too, actually working on the studio stuff?
Oh, and yes, if anybody watched the two-part special, back behind-the-scenes special, this mask is falling off. The two-part special of Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland for their rise of Rick and Morty. Dan Harmon said something at the very end that I found amazing. I'm going to see if I can bring up the quote. And I wouldn't say I was slacking, but I've been in a funk when it comes to the studio and working on it. Like, I've been working on it, but I haven't been working very...
I've been ruining your glory on Facebook recently.
Yes, you have been ruining my glory, but where is it?
Look at the comment. Just look for Juancho's comment.
No, yeah, Juancho's comments. Juancho's a dirty, dirty boy. He's a dirty man.
That's a dirty
dirty. See, that was before. That was the day. I'm actually looking at my Facebook. I have a photo video on Facebook just before.
Oh, look at you trying to be cool with your sunglasses.
I'm very cool, very cool. But those sunglasses is what caused the outline on my face. And
you need some Oakleys in your life, bro.
Everything that was exposed. Look at all that sun blasting on my forehead.
Do you have Oakley, bro?
Okay, do you even... There it is. So Dan Harmon said, and it galvanized me. I got up and I started editing. He said, be yourself. Work with your friends. Don't tell jokes that don't make you laugh. Don't tell stories that don't make you cry. And everything else will come out in the wash. That's Dan Harmon. And I read that and I said, my God, that's basically what the Vibe Studios is. It's a bunch of friends hanging out, making good content, producing it, or having a good time. So it got me back into it. So that's what basically happened for me over the weekend. Back to editing. There will be... I'm going to complete the Geek Bros... spoiler review of Spider-Man, and then move directly on to what is it next? The Wonder Woman special. And look forward to, apparently, there's some, we're going to talk about it later, but there's going to be a trailer being announced, and we're doing an emergency session there. So you're going to see it. Check it out, guys. New content. And at the very least, every week, for the most part, except for 1 week, there will be a podcast recap to look at. So check it out. Plenty of stuff there on Vibe Studios, VibeRevStudios.com. I love you guys all. It's fantastic. And what is next on the chopping block?
Make sure you listen
to us. So that's pretty much it when it comes to that. Before we get started, don't forget to check us out again. VibeRevStudios.com. That's VibeRevStudios.com. All Vibe Studios related content, which is Geek Bros and Geek Girls dominated. We've got the Geek Bros Instagram. And yes, please, by all means, watch them.
Is Geek Bros, GEEKBR0S. That's for the Instagram and the Twitter. Okay. And Facebook. I keep forgetting my Facebook.
And don't forget, guys, we have a dedicated email to Geek Bros. It's Geek Bros. This is just literally no zero. GeekBros@Outlook.com. Send us your comments, your requests. If you want to send us something, we'll shout you out on the air. And when we start doing contests again, that's where you're going to be contacting us to get through. So on that note, Juancho, what brings us here today?
What's good? What we got to talk about? We actually changing up the comic book news a little bit better. We're getting a little better with the comic book news. So we'll
Juan is getting a little bit better. DC slacking for
Liberty. Standouts for this week. Pokemon news. Video games out this week. Anime Invasion. There's going to be some changes with that. But we'll go ahead and continue. We got Star Wars 8 trailer. Big Mouth Review, Annihilation, Dragon Ball Z Super, Red Dead Redemption 2 Trailer Breakdown. This is the sequel, guys. Kessel Run, Flappy Bird is no longer playable with iOS 11. The Orville Episode 3 and Episode 4 Review, because we were slacking last week. The Gifted Episode 1 Review. Rick and Morty Episode 9 and Episode 10 Review.
Slackers.
Dan Harmon.
What was that? It sounded like we squeezed your balls when you said Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon, Rick and Morty sauce. YouTube at it again. You don't even care, bro. You hear me, YouTube? I know you do. Inhumans and Pacific Rim.
All right. Thank you, Juancho. Are we moving on? I hate this soundboard.
The new set.
Scent.
I think you want me to get a new song for the new scent.
I do. But I like the whispering at the end. New scent. Of course, I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but that whispering of new scent, it was inspired by Rick and Morty episode. The episode where where the father was kicked out and you heard somebody whisper, loser. So that's where I got that from, just so you know.
All right. So this is how we're going to start doing the format for the comic book news. I'm going to read off the comic books. We're only going to stick with DC and Marvel. Anything extra that is not DC or Marvel, we'll mention if it's worth mentioning to us. But if not, oh well. Starting with Marvel. Out this week, October 4th, All New Guardians of the Galaxy, issue number 11. The Astonishing X-Men, issue number 4. Avengers, issue number 672. Black Bolt, issue number 6. Darth Vader, issue number 6. Hawkeye, issue number 11. Iceman, issue number 6. Iron Fist, issue 73. Jessica Jones, issue 13. Journey to Star Wars The Last Jedi, Captain Phasma, issue 3. The Royals, volume 1. Royals, issue number 9. Spider-Man, issue number 21. Spider-Man and Deadpool, issue number 22. Spirits of Vengeance, issue 1. Star Wars, issue number 37. Thor vs. Hulk. Tomb of Dracula, the complete collection, volume 1. Venom, issue number 155. Venomverse, issue number 5. Werewolves by the Night, the complete collection, volume 1. And X-Men Gold, number issue 13. Out of Marvel, the books that we going to review is Phasma and Darth Vader. So we're gonna start with Phasma first. I know at Vibe has been read the audiobook, and you know, we discussed it a little bit. So the book 2 and 3 takes them right after we finish with book 1, as she's chasing the guy that supposedly saw the what happened.
The security recordings, her bringing down the shields. Yes.
So there's they get to the place and they're running down, they're chasing down the guy, and it turns out there's a village that needs help from this monster thing. So we get to see Phasma, but it turns out it's not really Phasma. It's Phasma continues hiding her face. So that is actually Phasma inside that costume. So she keeps hiding her face again.
Here's my problem. You see there's a bulge by the crotch? Are you sure that's Phasma?
Yeah, that's Phasma.
Okay, it looks like a male appendage.
Then they do. She's like, while she's climbing this mountain, trying to get to the top, where she's going to be fighting all these little weird aliens. There's a flashback of her climbing the same mountain as a child, and that's Baby Phasma.
So wait, is she on the planet that they showcased in the flashbacks in the Phasma book?
Lapras,
something like that.
Yes,
she's back on her home planet.
That's Lapras. It looks like that's her home planet. I'm not 100% sure, but she's on a planet called Lapras or Lapras.
Sorry,
it's we only need it for the soundboard and Pokemon, and that's it.
Okay, why is that? I want you to explain to our audience right now, why is it that you cannot have a fully charged battery when you're using... he has to take a sip before he answers. I like you to explain why you don't have a fully charged battery.
Bro, come do this.
You know what the podcast is.
Things happen, bro.
Oh, yeah? That's what you're saying? Things happen?
Let's happen.
Juancho, he avoids hard questions.
I forgot to read one more issue. Well, I'll read about it next time. Anyway, the next issue, I enjoyed the last two Captain Phasma books, so that was great. The next book, Darth Vader, number 6, we see Vader fighting the Inquisitors. Turns out that Palpatine actually goes to Vader. It's like, oh, the Inquisitors were a little thing that I created to hunt down the Jedi. So they talk a little bit about it.
So what you're trying to say is that Vader was not privy to the start. He was just kind of informed and said, hey, by the way, this is what's going on.
Yes. One of the missions was him that he was supposed to go. He went into the Jedi Temple to get some archives.
Yes.
And that's where he fights the Inquisitor. And the...
But why does he fight the Inquisitor for?
Because he just felt like fighting him. There was so much anger in his life.
No, seriously. What was the motivation for why he decided to fight the Inquisitor? He fought the Grand Inquisitor.
Yes. Okay. He fought the Grand Inquisitor.
Why?
He was there, and he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm going to destroy you.
Who said that? Vader said to him? Yeah. Just like that?
Yeah, and they fought.
They
fought, and what happens was at the end of the thing, the Vader actually beats him. Because before the process happened, is it Bacta Tank or was
Bacta
it
Tank? Bacta
Tank. So Vader's in the Bacta Tank trying to, you know, recover from the wounds that he acquired while he was trying to get his Sith saber. Palpatine walks in. He's like, oh, you know, this is a beautiful weapon. And then he looked into the armor and he kind of groaned like, Ern. He's like, what? He's like, you need to make your armor into your own since you're such a great engineer. So that's where you probably see such different alterations of Vader's armor.
So you're saying that Palpatine encouraged him to upgrade his armor or to make his own?
Yes.
That goes against the lore. From what I understand, the lore is that Palpatine purposely made his armor inferior just as punishment and to keep him from ever overthrowing him and making him weaker.
His armor made him even stronger. Because he said that's why he fought the Inquisitor, because he was testing out the armor.
Right, but
and
I'm
then
saying
once,
like,
once he's like, oh, I'm just testing my armor, he released the strength of the armor that gave him the strength and beat the crap out of the Inquisitor.
So
to a point, they said that the Palpatine is like, stop, no more fighting. You could have killed me. And Palpatine goes, you know, just takes him and goes into where the other Inquisitors are and explains to them what they're doing there and what their purpose is.
I think they're retconning something here because that doesn't make it that...
Remember, this Vader book is supposed to change everything the way you thought of Vader.
Okay, then... Okay. Well, Vader and, of course, the Emperor. So
yes.
They're retconning the idea that the Emperor basically put him in something like that to as punishment and to stagnate his ability. So I'm now really interested in where this is going because they're changing the lore a lot. Is that... I was going to say, why is there a Batman signal in the Darth Vader comic?
So that's for Marvel, guys. Check out the books if you have any this week.
Contact us. Why don't you guys email us? If you're following the Darth Vader comic, let us know how you feel about the change in the lore, because they actually are changing a lot of the pre-established ideas of Darth Vader and of the Emperor. I want to know how you guys feel. I'm feeling a little kind of like, what does this really mean then? Because at one point I thought that... You know, the Emperor didn't care much about Vader at all. Now, all of a sudden, it looks like maybe he really did care about Vader, you know, as more than just a pawn, you know. So it's kind of weird.
Well, and one of the scenes for the Vader book, Vader goes, why do you have me fight the Grand Inquisitor? Do you, and if you send me there so I can kill him so he can take position? And he goes, why would I send you to a fight? Do you think you would have lost against the Grand Inquisitor? And Vader goes, no. So then he goes, exactly.
Interesting. Very interesting. So definitely please contact us, geekbros@outlook.com. Let's have a dialogue. I would love to hear what you guys have to think about any of the topics, but specifically the change in the lore of Star Wars is what's going on. What you're doing with it. Do you like it? And how do you feel about this versus the expanded universe? I'm doing a lot of expanded universe readings now, and it's interesting because, you know, the Sith didn't exist, and titled Sith didn't exist, and they called him Dark Jedi.
Exactly.
So whenever they refer to
it, you know that?
No, I didn't realize that.
I told you this before. I told you this. That's why I think Snoke is the last Jedi, because he is a fallen Jedi. He is not a Sith.
Which is funny. So, they never called him. They called him Dark Jedi at the time. They never had the term Sith. And from what I understand is that they were always called a Sith. That even though they were never referred to as Sith in the movies, they were always referred to, they were always Sith. But no, in the expanded, I'm reading... For what you guys don't know is I'm reading the Thrawn books, the Thrawn EU books, the first trilogy, and the two sequels, and they talk about Dark Jedi and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'm really getting into the expanded universe. And let me say something right now, just on a side note, I really wish they made a Thrawn trilogy. The new thing.
The soundboard died.
What? 7% died already?
Yeah.
No soundboard, we're just going to fake it. But talk to us, because we talk back. Carry on, Juancho.
So I'm glad that you're reading the lore that doesn't exist anymore, but it is what it is.
Oh, the expanded universe is delicious.
It was delicious.
It's delicious.
I think I brought you in too late to the audiobook, sir.
No, you did, and to this day I will completely give you pure credit, because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I say this many times. Juancho said, here is the audiobook for Catalyst Rogue One. Mind you, hated Rogue One, and the sad part about it is, I probably would have liked Rogue One without reading the Catalyst book. The Catalyst book was amazing, and I loved listening to it. I have been obsessed with audiobooks, Star Wars audiobooks, ever since. And Juancho, he has no idea how much money I've spent on buying more credits and more credits and more credits just to keep getting the next audiobook. I'm very happy. I love it. It's a great thing to do, and I actually... You know, Audible is all my thing. Audible sent us free credits. Send me free credits. But I fully recommend you get into audiobooks. It's a fantastic thing to listen to on the drive or when you're doing mundane things.
I upgraded my phone, so now I can keep actually books and download stuff. So
oh, good.
I'm
fantastic.
Excited.
So sorry, I tangent segue. It's going to be a very long podcast. Stay tuned.
So, DC. Yes, Juancho hates comic books, but we're going to talk about it. Out this week on DC... All-Star Batman, issue number 14. Bane Conquest, issue number 6. Batman, issue number 32. Batman the Dawnbreaker, issue 1, which we're going to review. Batman the White Knight, issue number 1, which we're going to review. Cyborg, issue number 17.
Which we're going to review?
No.
No.
Dastardly and Muttley, issue number 2. Deathstroke, issue number 24. Green Arrow, issue number 32. Green Lantern, issue number 32. Harley Ivy meets Betty and Veronica. Yes, that's from, like, those books that you find at Publix.
Okay.
Yeah, those comic books. Harley Quinn, issue number 29. Justice League, issue 30. Nightwing, issue 30. And Superman, number 32. The books that we're going to review real quick, and I'm just going to do a quick review on them. I didn't really much like the Batman, the White Knight. I'm really confused. I'm going to have to read it again. I'm really confused by it. But the one that I actually want to emphasize a little bit more is Batman, the Dawn... Breaker, which was a really great book. It had a weird take on the Green Lantern and Batman. This Batman was actually Green Lantern.
Okay.
This Green Lantern is, you know what the Green Lantern's power is. What is their power? Is it fear, willpower, or strength? What is their, where does the ring get from? Willpower, correct?
Will, it's will, yeah. Green is the power of will.
So, the ring is not supposed to be lethal. You can't kill anybody by telling the ring, kill somebody. That's error in the code. But if you have enough willpower, the willpower will break in the ring, causing it to not listen to you and to have any more rules.
Wow.
So this is what happened in Dawnbreaker.
So they bled the Green Lantern?
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying? Okay.
So he actually destroyed the ring by using its willpower to the max and forcing to kill somebody.
Now, which Green Lantern is this? Hal?
This is Green Lantern Bruce Wayne. Batman, Green Lantern.
What?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
There he is. Showing a picture of Batman, Green Lantern.
How did he get the Green? Okay, maybe not even ask. Did they explain how he got that, or this is just some alternate universe?
Alternate universe.
Okay, cool.
So then all the Green Lanterns at one part appear, and they're like, you need to stop, you need to return the ring. He kills them.
What?
He kills all the Green Lanterns and rips the head of one of the leaders. He rips the head off of it. And so, you see the blood everywhere.
So what is it? DC's mad because Deadpool kills is so cool? Is that what it is? I gotta read that. I wanna read that. Don't show me the meat, okay? He is so rude. Vegan life forever. By the way, I can't maintain his vegan thing until November. I can't because Santa's enchanted forest. Santa's enchanted forest.
You know what? I'm sorry, but I cannot wait. You're ruining my ability to get my roast from Dark Flex, okay?
Dark Flex, you guys made the roast last time and
there. No, but this time you gotta join in. It's not the same. We're gonna get 12 pounds?
I will still chip in money if you guys get the 12 ounce. I just won't eat any. Just make the tostones for me with that special pico de gallo.
Bro, don't disrespect that sauce, bro.
Okay, what was it?
I have the sauce.
What was it called?
It's just a tomato paste.
Pico de gallo. Carry on.
I hate you. So yeah, those are the comic books out this week, guys. Check your local comic book store.
I think my mask is drying up.
We're going to sign up for a weekly box at our local comic book store, which is a little closer than Tate, past, present, future. So we'll be signing back up again, and we'll be getting weekly comic books. So we'll be able to start reviewing a little bit more better of the comic books and reading them, and be able to get more in detail with you guys. Because I know we've been slacking on that, but we're gonna get better at that.
Yeah, guys, we're actually putting a lot of effort into this podcast. We like we did in the very beginning. We got a little laughs, got a little fun. I mean, still a great podcast in my opinion. Okay, if you don't agree, well, it's none of your business. But, we decided to tighten up a little bit. We're going to get a little more strict and a little less, you know. We're going to stop making excuses. Basically is what I'm trying to say. So, hang in there, and I hope you like that we're going to go back to form a little bit, surely. Mm-hmm.
All right. Movies out this week, Blade Runner 2049. You know Harrison Ford is signed up. I think he signed up to do all his movies again and bring them back to life.
I read a quick article that says, yes, that he is on some kind of thing where he's going to go to all his old movies and he's going to start reprising his role from all his old movies. And which he's done. Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford.
Han Solo.
And
but this Blade Runner movie looks really good.
It does look good. It makes me want to watch the thing. I was considering talking to you. I guess I'll ask you on air. I was going to say, let's go see it, but let's do a two-parter. Let's watch the original Blade Runner.
I actually want to see the Blade Runner original.
Can we watch the Blade Runner? Because there's the director's cut, though. Can you watch the director's cut of Blade Runner, go watch Blade Runner, and then do a two-parter?
Yeah, sure.
Geek Bros.
That sounds pretty cool.
Fantastic.
My Little Pony, the movie, Darflex has been excited about this. He's a brony in heart, so he's so excited about that.
We don't judge
pony.
You, Darflex.
We don't
the
judge
man.
You, okay? You the man,
okay,
bro.
Okay, you the man. You flex gotta, that
you,
out.
You got, just flex the pony out.
Did you guys know that he has a My Little Pony tattoo? It's on his lower back.
Oh, yes.
It
sexy.
Is. We've seen it.
It's a rainbow.
It's
a rainbow
Star Wars
Dash?
Celebration.
Rainbow Dash?
It is Rainbow Dash.
Okay, Rainbow Dash. Okay, Rainbow Dash.
Okay, and the word bubbled over it is oorah, so. So, yes, we got really close at Celebration, guys. Watch Celebration. Great line of videos. Shameless promotion.
So, that's it for the Pokemon, for the movies. Because, you know, the soundboard ended, I decided that I'm still going to be able to do it.
How the heck did you do that?
Pokemon! Squirtle!
Squirtle! Charmander, Charmander! Pikachu!
You sent.
So, Pokemon News, guys, Pokemon News, Pokemon News! One more month till we are able to see Pokemon, I Choose You, the movie. We are counting down, just like we're counting down the times for Star Wars. We finally got a trailer dubbed. Vibe, do your thing.
Are we doing a trailer review or a trailer breakdown?
Let's watch the trailer and we'll break it down. Trailer breakdown.
Trailer breakdown? Trailer breakdown! Woo!
Time to go into our childhoods, which Vibe didn't have.
So you're the last of the four young ones starting out on their journeys today.
Okay, so far, I assume that's Professor Oak's voice?
Yes, that's Professor Oak's voice.
That's definitely not his voice. What we see is Ash running out of a house, probably in Pallet Town.
Like he did in the beginning.
He did?
Yeah.
Man, I need to go back to my childhood is a blur. Okay.
Being a second late for a train or even a Pokemon can be life-changing.
Does that mean I go on my journey without a Pokemon?
Pause it.
Okay,
we're looking at now the way that the original Pokemon, if you remember, and you probably don't remember, it was only three Pokeballs.
It was three Pokeballs.
But you didn't have the design of what you see now.
You had
the nice fire, the leaf, and the little turtle shell. This is actually in detail.
Nice. So what they have here is we're looking at three pods. One looks like the Bulbasaur. One is Bulbasaur, one is Charmander, one is Squirtle. And we have Ash talking to Professor Oak. This is a reimagining of the first episode where he gets to choose his Pokemon. Carry on.
Well, there is another.
Another special team.
Pokemon is called Pikachu.
So, Pikachu apparently was just standing out right next
to... I miss Fat Pikachu.
Huh?
I miss Fat Pikachu.
What do you mean, Fat Pikachu?
Remember? Have you not noticed how Pikachu has lost weight throughout the generations?
Has he? I haven't noticed.
The beginning Pikachu was fat. Even the joints was fat. He looked like Pillsbury Doughboy Pikachu. Now he's slim and tender.
Well, did you say tender?
Yeah.
Man, you really do want that roast, don't you? Flex, get on that, man. This guy's getting the meat sweats. All right, carry on.
Hi, Pikachu. My name's Ash Ketchum. You and I are going to be best friends.
There he goes again.
Okay, so Ash... Oh, my God, sorry. So Ash picked him up. And he was upset, and he shocked him.
Yeah, like in the beginning, Pikachu was hating Ash.
Very true. But I hope they explain, where did Oak get this Pikachu?
I don't think they're going to explain it, but keep playing.
Okay. Oh, excuse me, you little prick.
But I want to get to the part with
okay.
The hero. Oh, you missed it.
I did? Sorry. There we go.
See the hero part?
Oh, the Pharaohs. But here's my problem. It's a swarm of Pharaohs, and he's an untrained Pikachu. Why is he so strong? Why
is Team Rocket always trying to catch Pikachu? Because he's a really rare type of Pikachu. Like, he's really strong. He's always been strong. He freaking beat Onix. How do you beat Onix? He's freaking lightning.
Well, he beat Onix because the light, the sprinklers came down, and he...
Other than that, you would have not beaten Onix.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand.
This Pikachu is amazing. He's
but there's gotta be... But the lore, they have to explain it.
If you know why, let us know.
And there's the ho-ho. And it actually looks like the real Pokemon as opposed to what it originally looked like.
I didn't know he got a leaf. Oh, I like this take.
Pikachu, someday we'll both meet that Pokemon.
So originally when they saw this Pokemon, it was all gold.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what it was. And eventually they brought it out and they told us what it was.
So many ho-hos up there.
I remember when it was, what was it? Pokemon?
2000?
No.
Pokemon.
Which video game had that hole in it?
I think silver. I think
it was gold and silver. I think it was gold and silver. And when it came out,
it was gold. It was gold.
Gold and silver. When they came out, okay, and Ho-Oh was one of the Pokemon. We were all so excited because they finally put a face to the Pokemon that Ash actually saw and that we never understood. And it was never even listed in the Pokédex. Mm. So I was really excited about that.
Pikachu.
So much Ho-Oh.
The legend says the rainbow ring will guide you.
We've got to get moving and find Ho-Oh.
When did he get a Lapis?
Too soft. Remember, might makes right.
Okay, let's hold on now. Well, he didn't have a Lapis until the Orange Islands. Yeah. So where did that come from?
And you don't have this sixth generation Pokemon.
Exactly.
This is from Sun and Moon.
They also showed some kind of
Sun and Moon. This is Sun and Moon Pokemon. This is the evolved version of the Cat Pokemon. I forgot the name of the Pokemon.
Why? Why are they doing that?
We'll have to wait till November. There's a lot of questions. We'll have to wait till November.
Okay. All right. Let's carry on. Let's go to alternate universe.
That's it.
inside Pokemon Ultra Universe.
All those Butterfree.
Yo, that Butterfree, hold on, pause it. The Butterfree episode hit me, bro.
That was one of the saddest things
that
ever.
That thing hit me, bro. And it hit me as a child. I still tear up.
We were dying. He had a Caterpie. It sucked. Then he turned. But then he turned into a Metapod almost immediately. He had that Metapod forever. He had that Metapod forever. Why is it that once he got it into a Butterfree, you let that thing go? That Metapod lasted forever, and he sucked too. He was so funny, Metapod.
But this thing, that I really teared up when he let it go.
He did. It was really sad, really sad. Let's carry on.
Let's go, Pikachu. What's way out there?
Wait a minute, did you see that?
Well,
the fighting Pokemon.
The fighting blue Pokemon. What is going on?
I'm so confused.
Listen, they're messing with this. This is the Kanto region. The Kanto region only had 150 Pokemon. Okay? No, but you saw the cats are in there? Who is that? What are you doing?
As long as my buddy's with me, I can go anywhere.
Wait, those Pokemon? Listen, I'm gonna go to IMAX and watch this. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
No, I haven't watched the Pokemon movie in the movie theater since Pokemon 2000.
I haven't watched Pokemon since Pokemon the movie.
You didn't watch Pokemon 2000?
Not in the movie.
Pokemon 2000 was way better than Mewtwo Strikes Back.
No, not in the movie. I like Mewtwo Strikes Back a lot. The anime still hits me.
You have no soul,
so you won't even care. Darflex.
Hold on. This fool just said, I have no soul. You know what? I got your soul right here. But we are looking forward to it. We're gonna watch it. We're going to review it. I think that we should do a crossover with the Childish Critics.
We should. I think it'll be awesome.
So look forward to the Childish Critics crossover. Theo Star and Joey Fire, we cross over with the Geek Bros. And we're going to go see Pokemon. I choose you, IMAX. And we're going to have a good old time.
So as we talk about souls here, the Pokemon Company announced the Pokemon Go will announce again and celebrate a Halloween with an in-game event. Well, we wait for further details about the promotion. However, it's a much tinier tease than the fans most excited about. The possible arrival of more Pokemon, which sounds like it could be this Halloween's biggest treat. This article is coming from Polygon that there is always a Halloween event. Last time Halloween event was you get to catch more ghost Pokemon, and it was only three: Gengar, Hunter, and Ghastly. This time around you have the second generation Pokemon, plus there's rumors that we're gonna have the third generation ghost Pokemon show up on the Halloween event. That's pretty cool.
I guess. I told you, I'm a first generation, maybe second generation oldie. After that, I really have... No, not even second generation, just pure first generation.
Those are freaking pretty good, cool Pokemon. Ghost Pokemon.
I see Pikachu in a... Oh, okay. That thing right there. So I'm at the store. I'm pointing to this ghost Pokemon that looks like a Pikachu with a cloth on his face.
You know why? He's a shape of a Pikachu because he wants people to love him.
But I hear that when you see his real face, people die immediately.
Yeah.
So I'm in the Walmart and I'm ready to go to football practice with Joey Fire, and I'm like, this Pokemon is really cool. What Pikachu is this? He goes, Dad, it's not. It's a ghost who wants people to like him. So the most beloved Pokemon is Pikachu. So he puts a sheet on looking like Pikachu. And there's only one, apparently only one Pokemon saw what he looks like and didn't die. And it was Meowth in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever. I want that. I want a plushie of that, or I want a thing of that. You get me that now.
Yeah, so that's the event for Pokemon this week, guys. Check it out. Hopefully, you will enjoy it. We are excited about. Moving over to
negative. So, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I found me a mobile Pokemon game that I enjoy.
Oh yeah, okay. But hold on. That's part of that. That's goes with video games. Can I finish? Hold on, bro.
That's Pokemon news.
That's what I was trying to tell you earlier. Video game news goes with video game news.
Pokemon Go is a Pokemon.
It's part of Pokemon news. This is what I was trying to tell you. See, you didn't let
me
do it.
So I found myself a mobile game that I like, okay? And it is Pokemon Duel. I don't know if you guys are playing this game. I only randomly saw a commercial of it somewhere.
No. Explain where you saw Pokemon Duel.
Where did I see it?
The podcast.
No, we read about it on the podcast.
And, but I told you to download it, and we actually downloaded it right there and then.
We did not. We did not download it right there and then. I didn't even care about it. And then I saw a commercial for it. I said, wow, this is a lot of fun, or an ad on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, I absolutely am
no, obsessed. No. If you listen to the podcast, you said that you were going to try it out. And
I did, but I never downloaded it. I'm telling you right now, we did talk about this, but I never downloaded it. It's only until I saw a trailer for it did I download it and actually like it.
So you downloaded it 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I've only had it for so long.
I hate you so much.
And the game is so much fun. I have never sat down screaming at my phone, cursing when I lost. The game can be as easy or as hard as you like. All different kind of Pokemons, they all have moves. It's kind of like playing like a game board, and it's very simple. It's a game board. You have your goalpost and their goalpost. Your job is to get one of your Pokemon onto their goalpost. Sounds boring, right? Nope, there's skill involved. There's hopping around. There's rotating battling. So each Pokemon has a different battle with a different grade. And then it's turn-based, but instead of you like just choosing your attack, it's a spin wheel. You know, like one of those spin wheels that you get at a carnival, and you can either miss or you can get any different kind of attacks. And
is this it?
Yes, he's playing. He's looking at it right now. I'm not doing it justice, guys, but it's an amazing game. I have a lot of fun playing it. It is trumped the Star Wars Forces of Destiny or Star Wars whatever I've been playing as my new Pokemon game.
It is downloading right now. Alright, so we're going to be playing Pokemon Duel today.
And I'm going to tell you right now that I'm going to duel. As soon as Juancho catches up, I'm going to duel him and we're going to fight. Guys, I recommend the game. It's a free game. There is in-game purchases. But I haven't purchased a single thing on this. And I'm having a blast. It gets a little harder, but it is a lot of fun. It is Geek Bros. It is vibe approved. You know me, man. I'm not about that Pokemon life anymore. But this game, amazing. And, check it out.
As we continue in the mobile games, Super Mario Run Update has released some fun games. You get to unlock Daisy after you beat the 30th level of Super Mario Run, and you also get a star level as well. So check that guys out if you guys have any on iOS or Android.
Are you still playing that game?
Yes, I have downloaded it already.
No, I know you have downloaded it too, but I haven't played it.
Remember, you had to buy it. You only get the first level, and then you have to buy it. So I bought it, actually.
Did you?
Yes. That's $10 I've ever spent.
Sucker.
Video games out this week, I hate you so much. Battle Chasers Night War, Coldcept Revolt on October 3rd, Forza Motorsport 7 October 3rd, Detention October 3rd. Okay, sorry, let me start that again because I didn't even read the name of the video game systems. Battle Chasers Night War October 2nd on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Coldcept Revolt October 3rd on 3DS, and that's it. Forza Motorsport 7, October 3rd on Xbox One, PC. Detention, October 3rd on PS4. Dragon Dogma Dark Arisen on PS4. Lovers in Dangerous Space Time. Batman The Enemy Within on PS4. Expand on PS4. The Hunter Call of the Wild, PS4. Jige on PS4. Mystic Bell on PS4. WRC7 on PS4. N++ on Xbox One, October 4th. The Hat Time, PC, PS4, Xbox One. Stardew Valley, Switch Edition. Axiom Verge, Switch Edition. Vorgor the Viking on Wii U and Switch. Tumblestone, October 5th on the Switch. Earth Atlantis on the Switch. Mario plus Luigi. Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions on 3DS and Switch. Layton's Mystery Journey, Catrails and the Millionaire's Conspiracy, October 7th on 3DS and Switch. I think that's 3DS as well. Oxfree on the Switch. And Save the Ninja Clans on the Switch. You know, Layton's Mystery Journey has been one of my all-time favorite games that you play on the 3DS. I'm pretty sure you've played one of the Layton games.
That I absolutely know that you love that game. I know that's your most favorite game in the world.
I hate you so much.
What I'm excited about is the Mario and Luigi game right there for the
3DS. Are you going to get that for Joystar and Theofire?
I'm going to get it for me. I've played every single one of them.
Do you actually like that Dream World?
Yes.
I actually have.
I enjoyed every single one of them, and I can't wait. It's one of the few games that I follow. That, Kingdom Hearts, a couple other games. The Dynasty Warrior Gundam games. These are all certain games that I completely follow, and this is one of them. I love me a good RPG, and these games remind me of the original Super Mario RPG for the Super NES.
You can get it on Friday.
Thank you. Hold on. I'm trying to get nostalgic here.
You have no childhood.
You little prick. And of course, Battlefront, can't wait for it to come out.
It comes out on the 11th of November.
Flex said that the beta is out.
I didn't see the beta yet, but I'm pretty sure it's out already.
Okay.
Enemy Invasion news, Vibe Arrowverse review replacement for Fall. Do you think
about it? Okay, the Enemy Invasion, which was the idea that I had, which I haven't really been following, where I would watch one new anime and review it. Because the Arrowverse is returning for the fall season, that's Supergirl, Arrow, The Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow. I may do Black Lightning, but I'm not sure where that fits in the Arrowverse. I'm going to start reviewing those episodes every week. So the following week, I review the episode that was last week. So I can't do both, or I won't do both. So I struck a deal with Juancho, where Anime Invasion will be the Arrowverse Invasion.
For the fall.
For the fall. And then when it's off season, it'll be Anime Invasion. When it's on season, it'll be the Arrowverse reviewing. So check that out. I do want to quickly talk about, because Juancho did my homework. He actually watched the Neo Yoki Netflix series. We reviewed it last time. Juancho, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Because I told you I wasn't going to watch it because I thought it looked stupid. And?
It was horrible. That's it.
Wow, and that is the end of that, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm leaving that the way it is.
No, but seriously, what was wrong with the story, the acting?
The story, they're just so bad.
Really?
I really disliked it, bro. I really disliked it. I really was hoping for something else. I didn't like it.
But Juancho, the trailer...
After episode 2, it's
the I'm sorry, the trailer didn't look very good. I didn't like the way it was looking anyway, so I was a surprise. So, that's a Juancho thumbs down for Neo Yoki, and guess what? Vibe will not watch it. He's not interested. He's going to move on with his life. So... With that being said, we're going to move on with our live and go to the open mic discussion.
All right, guys.
Very excited. Mind you, we're 41 minutes into it right now, and we are just getting to open mic. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an extended podcast. We're catching up, so stick with us.
Wait,
it's going to be a good time.
How are you going to just jump to that, and we're not going to talk about Mario's issue right now, bro?
Where was it on the list?
It's next to it. It says...
Where?
Pokemon. It says Mario Dinosaur Abuse.
You went to Anime Invasion.
Oh, hold on.
Don't give me a hold on. You said Black will do your thing.
All right, so we're going to do our thing now, and we're going to talk about the abuse. Called PETA. Called everybody. Mario is abusing.
Nobody tell Jilly Goods because...
Yeah, Jilly Goods gets abused about...
She gets in her feelings.
So does Dark Flesh. Let's talk about that.
Dark Flesh gets in her feelings about...
Remember the movie, A Dog's...
But he wasn't against it. It was Jilly Goods that was
against it.
It
as well.
He was against it because she's against it. Because,
because
he doesn't want to be put in a doghouse. Okay? I would agree with my lady friend. Just doesn't be put in a doghouse. Okay, so a rumor has been confirmed. Mario has been punching Yoshi since the Super NES days. Nintendo confirms. This is coming from MovieWeb.com. And it's been long rumored that Mario punches Yoshi in the back of the head in the Super NES classic Super Mario Brothers, where I think Yoshi was first introduced in Super Mario World. It has now been 100% confirmed by Nintendo. Mario has been, and I'd use air quotes, abusing Yoshi for 26 years, while many looked away and just flat out assumed that there was no possible way that Super Mario would be such a jerk to his helpful pal. Yoshi, Nintendo has come out and confirmed that it is all true, every terrible detail, and hopefully the announcement of the abuse will finally get Mario to cease his unruly behavior. Nintendo has been dropping all kinds of Mario bombshells lately, from the news that Mario has hung up his plumber uniform, which is the weirdest thing in the world, years ago, and that right, he runs around topless in Super Mario Odyssey with his
I like
man
his
nipples.
Name. I was thinking he was having full Italian game with full
I'm
man of chest
saying,
hair.
I still
look
have
his yet. Chest hair. Look at all this chest hair here.
Nobody can see anything. That looks like pubic hair. So he's got a really chiseled body for somebody that looks all dumpy and frumpy. So I'm just saying, okay.
Cool Mario.
Yes.
He's very fit. He's not a plumber anymore.
Oh, exactly. So during the interview with the longtime Super Mario Bros. Developer Takashi Tezuka, Mr. Hino.
Shigefumi Hino.
Oh my god, heck no. On the Nintendo official website, Hino delivered the unfortunate news, he explains. Lots of people think that while Mario is pointing his fingers...
Mario,
what are you doing?
Wait,
how dare you?
Sure, translate into which language?
Watch this.
I apologize. And by the way, mind you, he's playing with his phone, he's playing with Siri, and he gets on my case when I do
Mario,
this.
Mario, bro?
Apple.com.
Wait. Siri.
Can I read this article? Translate Mandarin Chinese?
Okay, what would you like to translate?
Oh my god.
Do you even Mario, bro?
Alien Mario.
That does not sound very good. It sounds like an elongated sneeze. Okay, so Hino explains. Lots of people think that while Mario is pointing his fingers forward, he's saying go, and Yoshi's tongue comes out. However, the setup that I drew was that when Mario punches Yoshi in the head, the character's tongue shoots out in surprise. What's more, there's an added pop sound. However, it seems like people would say, poor Yoshi. So that's when it became that Mario was saying go. So Mario has been punching Yoshi in the back of his head to eat his enemies for nearly 30 years.
That's abuse, bro.
How do you feel about that?
Poor Yoshi, man. Has he gotten a CAT scan or an MRI scan on his head?
That could explain his odd behavior in Super Smash Bros. And Yoshi World and why he stutters in the air like that.
Exactly.
Okay? It's PTSD. Okay? That's what it is. And I have a whole new theory now about the baby Mario stuff, because I bet you he's not really... he's probably kidnapping the baby, not saving
them. Exactly, not saving them.
So I'm just saying that...
He's like, that bitch tried hitting him in my head all these 30 years. Let me kidnap your child.
Makes me want to play the game right now and just keep hitting him on the head. You know? Yoshi! Yoshi! Yoshi!
What the hell was that?
That was Yoshi. It was him saying, but get your kids.
So, as we move forward there, because he wants to keep hitting Yoshi in the head, Star Wars Episode 8 trailer October 9th. It has been widely rumored that the clip will make its debut Monday, October 9th in the U.S. or the early hours on Tuesday, October 10th in the U.K. Wishlist, this has not been part confirmed by Lucasfilm, at least not yet. It has been claimed that something else will be happening around the movie at the same time. According to the Whispers Online, tickets for the film's first showing will also go on sale next week. So that means we need to get our tickets next week, then, if that's the rumor's true.
Yes, we will.
A post on Reddit by KingNothing16, which of course is unverified but gaining plenty of traction, reads, new trailer will debut during Monday Night Football on October 9th, and advance tickets will launch immediately after.
So, what are we doing? What are our plans now?
We're going to watch Football Monday here, and we're going to hope for a trailer.
So, wait. I have to watch football just for a Star Wars trailer and hope for the best?
You mean football, bro?
No, I don't football, bro.
You have your kid playing football.
That is true. That is true. He's right. I do football, bro. Okay, so the idea that we have is that Darflex, Garbanzo, she doesn't have a name yet, but Garbanzo's significant other, Jay, which is unnamed, we gotta get a name for her soon. She'll be there, Vinay, myself, and Juancho are gonna be here at Vibe Studios, hoping for a trailer, and if we are, we're gonna have the camera rolling, you're gonna get our initial reaction, and then a quick review that's gonna be edited and posted up either that night or the very next day. I mean, I'm dead serious, this is gonna go right up real immediately. And then followed by, of course, a Childish Critics review. But anyway, we're excited about that. And then we're gonna be doing
our review right after.
No, we're gonna be doing our tickets and stuff.
Right? We'll be doing that.
Okay, that's gonna be huge, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what else was huge for me this weekend?
What was huge for you this weekend?
I binge watched Big Mouth.
So did I.
So let's break it down. You know, sex ed, America's taboo. And why, you know, there's certain European countries where they actually show, you know, tits, boobs, you know, to show kids, hey, you know, this is what sex is.
They used to do that.
They used to, but now they don't, you know.
Because we become prudes. Exactly. And violence is okay, but there really isn't.
I'm going to quote the show. And it was really funny, but it made me feel kind of weird about the show. At the end of the episode of Big Mouth, of season one, the puberty monster goes, if you see a whole bunch of little kids, because they're middle school kids,
mm-hmm.
jacking off, isn't this child porn?
he did say that.
But he said, but it's okay because it's an animation film, so we get away with it. That was very odd. I found it very odd.
So you felt uncomfortable. You started feeling some kind of way.
I felt uncomfortable after that because I was enjoying the show because the show was hilarious.
Yes, very true. So, and then what he did, they put it into perspective. They broke the fourth wall, and they basically said, "By the way, you've been watching 10 episodes of middle school kids pretty much jacking off and experimenting sexually all the time and laughing and enjoying it. You dirty, dirty, dirty slut. That's basically what they were calling us.
Yeah.
So I found it to be very, very interesting.
And I enjoyed this show so much because if I would have had this show presented to me during puberty, I would have fucking loved it. Sorry for cursing, guys, but I would have loved it. I really enjoyed the show.
It was a good show. It was very adult. And
let's talk about the characters that remind us of the crew, okay?
Well, let's talk about all the characters. Scroll
well, we
back
have John Mulane plays Andrew, Grandpa Andrew, and Babe the Blue Ox.
Okay.
Jesse Clean plays Jesse. Jason Mantzoukas plays Jay Scrotus and the guy Bill Sarian. Jenny Slate plays Missy. Maya Rudolph plays Hormone Monster. Diane Bathmat, Ghost of Elizabeth Taylor, Ghost of Whitney Houston. We're going to talk about that.
Yes.
Andrew Reynolds, Matthew. Jordan Pelly, Ghost of Duke Ellington. Freddie Mercury, Atlanta Santa Claus, DJ Cyrus, and Park Patrick Irwin. Fred Emerson plays Elliot, Ghost of Antonio Scalia, Bus Driver, and Stars. We're actually going to talk about that one. That episode with the deceased Supreme.
Uh-huh.
Rich Kind, Marty, Paul Bell, Barbara, Kat Dennings, Leia, June, Diane, Raphael plus Devin, Kristen Bell plays the pillow.
That's why her voice sounded so familiar.
Kristen Wiig talking
that,
vagina.
That is the only actress voice that I recognize was Kristen Wiig and talking vagina.
Plays Kurt, Mark Duplass plus Val, Mae Whitman plus Tallulah. Sag Woods plays Daniel. Ala Shakwa plays Ron.
I like
Roland.
Her. I like her in the
John
the show.
Hamm plays the scallops.
He does.
So.
But wait, who plays the puberty monster?
I guess she plays both puberty monsters.
No, she does. Where's the other puberty monster?
Oh, the other puberty monster?
Where is it? Who plays? Oh, there it is. That's what.
Oh, Nick Kroll plays the Nick. The Hormone Monster, Coach Steve, Lola, Ladybug, Janitor, Nick Star, Joe Walsh, Coach Hormone Monsters, Ghost of Picasso, Ghost of Richard Burton, and Italian Stallion.
Wow.
So.
That was a mouthful.
I'm moving my movie here.
Okay.
We're going to talk about characters that remind us of the crew. I think you remind me of Nick.
Okay, can you scroll? Show me Nick again?
That's Nick.
Okay.
You remind me of Nick Kroll.
Okay.
Okay?
Why is that?
I'm going to go from there. I remind myself of Andrew.
Yes, because he does have a moment where you think he's gay, and I remember you had that moment, so...
I hate you so much. And let's talk about Darth Flex.
No, listen.
Let's break this down. Let's start with Darth Flex.
Listen.
Let's start with Darth Flex.
And there's anybody...
He reminds me of Jay.
And there's anybody... if there is anybody or any character in this show that reminds us of somebody that we know personally...
Jay.
Jay's character in this, in Big Mouth, is exactly how I pictured Darth Flex childhood. Immediately. No doubt in my mind. I said it. I heard it. I saw it. He looks like him.
The way he acts and everything.
The way he acts.
Let's talk about the scene where he's telling the kids, you know, have you ever, you guys used the pillow? You warm some lentil guys. you pull them in the pillow.
So basically, I hear the thing though. It's genius. So he masturbates by having intercourse with a pillow. He puts a slit in the bottom of the pillow where a vagina would be. He warms two bags of soup. He puts it in a Ziploc bag, stuffs it in there, and then he... I'm rocking my chair. He gets it on with it. And I said, that is something that JJ, aka Darth Flex, would say to us immediately. No joke. And he would say it with such confidence that you'd want to try it. Okay? I almost took a knife to one of my pillows, and then I realized, what am I doing? I'm a 30-something year old guy. Okay? What is wrong with me?
This show, the way that it portrayed sex was really wonderful. It opened up a lot of doors that have been shut for a long time here in the United States about growing up, puberty. It's been, you can't do this, you can't. This show broke all the barriers and everything like that. This is why this show has been so successful. I have not heard any bad reviews on it or people criticizing the show. And I hope they don't, because it's such a great show. It really is. You actually see a prescription about things that you, when you grow up, you can relate to.
See, it's a comedy, but Juancho is taking it a little bit further, saying that there is actual educational value. There is in retrospect. Could you show a junior high school student this show? Not really.
Well, not really.
You can sit down with them and maybe discuss it with them. But for us, maladjusted adults, in retrospect, watching this... we connect with it. We connect with it because that was us. We remember when this happened. We remember when sex was ambiguous. We know when we were kind of like wondering how we felt, what we felt, and why we felt it.
Which is your favorite episode?
Oh, darn. What was my favorite episode? Because I loved it all. I really did. I loved it all. You know what I loved? The episode when...
I like when they brought all the ghosts back. I want to know why they brought the Supreme Judge Anthony Scalia. That was a very odd episode. Bringing all the ghosts back, and you had Whitney Houston, you had...
When they had the party.
Yeah.
My favorite episode was when they went off to New York... Because the character that reminds you of me was called over there. No, that makes sense.
Yes.
I would definitely do something like that. You're
exactly.
Right. Then I think about that. Yeah. Basically, what was the character's name?
Nick.
Nick was
one of his love interests.
He likes a girl in New York, and she's like, "Hey, come over and come hang out." And he took that literally and said, "I'm going now." So when he goes over, she's like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" He goes, "Well, you invited me over." She's like, "Yeah, but you actually came." Like, you know, not that she didn't. And they're about to get it in. I was about to listen to me. They're about to make out, and then your character comes in. Who was that again?
Crap. Let me get...
Whatever. Yeah, his character comes in.
Andrew.
And he comes, he comes in and interrupts that, and basically... they actually have a revelation about one of the other characters' moms there, and I just think that they were lost in New York and everything that came about in that thing. And even though I'm from New York, it wasn't just that; it was just the fact that entire thing where Nick's character convinces the other character Andrew to come along, and he's like, "No, I'm not fun. I'm nice, but I'm not fun. You don't want me to come along." And he actually regretted it because he was embarrassing his friend. He brought a weird hat, and that hat led to a revelation. It was great.
The episode was awesome. The show was awesome. Everything was good about the show. We gave
no,
five
hold on.
Five.
What was your favorite episode?
Oh, my favorite episode? I like the episode when Jesse's bar mitzvah, which is turning of age, and they reveal that the mom, she now knows her mom cheated on her with the lady who's been helping her practice her.
Oh, that was a great revelation. Yeah, the interaction. You know what that was like?
And you had the coach being the DJ. But those jokes, man. He's like in a Jewish party, and he's making these like really bad jokes.
But can we talk about the dynamic of Jesse's mom and dad? It had an error of Rick and Morty's parents.
Yeah.
Except instead of the dad being pathetic, the dad was a stoner and that you know, kind of...
And the daughter actually liked him.
Right, liked him. And then the mother kind of just... They grew apart. And here's the thing, though. She had a flashback where it showed how things began to slip between them. And that was probably the most realistic portrayal of marriage that I've seen in a while. Because in the beginning, you saw they were in love. She had memories of them being in love. You know? Some children grow up, okay, without even having any memory of their parents being in love, and you're growing up and you're wondering, why am I here? How did I come to be if you guys never loved each other? You have no pictures, no memory, you know, and so when she was able to reflect on how she watched the degradation and the fall of the marriage, that was kind of a really touching scene for a quick second. I was like, I like that, you know.
Yeah, very true.
So that was very well scripted, because not a lot of families break up just like that and walk away. It's usually a slow burn. The fire fizzles out, and everybody finds their niche. And unfortunately, the father...
But that man, that when the father found out about that, that was savage, because the father wasn't there. He was supposed to be there. He's like, "Oh shoot, I should have never been here."
Right, pretty much.
So yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes. The awkward episode that I was just so awkward and so like weird, when the hormone monster was talking to Jesse and she's like exploring herself, and then she gives her a mirror and she, and Jesse's talking to her vagina. I was like, "Wait, what? What's going on here?"
But it was so tastefully done, though. It was a very...
and she's breaking down. Oh, so this is Majora Labor. Uh-huh. This is the... I'm like, oh my God.
And it's funny, because you know, so many people think that it's all the vagina. It's like it's calling... What did she say? There was a metaphor saying, like, calling... I don't know, calling something the entire thing, when in reality, the vagina is a very small part of what you see down there. All of that is not... The actual female genitalia is not called the vagina. It's a different... It's a whole bunch of different parts. But it was so tastefully done.
I'm really excited for season two. Hopefully they come out with season two.
I hope that... Did they... No, they haven't announced that yet?
I haven't announced it yet.
guys, breaking it down, it was Geek Bros approved. It's definitely TVMA, so like
extremely
MA. But once you get into it, you get into it, and it that's what she said. And it was a good show. I actually think I'm gonna rewatch it. Maybe even consider doing like a minisode on it.
Okay.
A very heavily censored minisode on it. So something to think about. And I'm very excited about that. Okay. I love watching these kids go to town on themselves, weird, and annihilating their genitals. And on that to note,
okay, what's going on?
Come on, I just gave you the setup for, I said annihilating their genitals for annihilation.
Annihilation.
I did not like trailer. Watching kids getting down on themselves. I was trying to do a transition. That's my disclaimer. I'm a father. This is a family show.
So, Annihilation trailer. Did you click my article? No,
you probably said article.
I don't know.
But you need to exit out of the articles once you're done with them, Juancho. What is this? Is this it?
No, the next one.
There is. This is it.
Yep. And you know there was an article trailer there, by the way.
So where?
Right there.
Okay, that's not what you do. You want to play it?
Yeah, play it. So the trailer of the director of Ex Machina. Director Alex Garlick's next movie, Annihilation, is here. Hit play.
Trailer breakdown or trailer review?
Let's do a trailer review.
Okay. Boom. There's a field.
Ooh,
there's
yes.
There's Natalie Portman.
Oh, Padme, she's so hot.
Natalie Portman looking tired. There's some kind of weird Gungan shield.
She likes to go to Gungan shield.
Yes, she does.
Can you describe its form?
Oh, it's a Marvel movie.
No.
No, it's not.
Was it carbon based?
I don't know.
Did it communicate with you?
Wow.
You really have no idea what it was.
Did your husband contact you at any point while he was away?
No. It was his decision to go in.
Wow.
Why did my husband volunteer for a suicide mission? You have to tell me where he was, what he was doing.
Okay,
so
that's,
comes out in February of next year.
It
has the Ex Machina feel to it.
No, it doesn't. Where was the Ex Machina feel to it?
It's going to have a crappy ending.
It reminds Ex Machina did not have a crappy ending.
I know it didn't.
Okay. How dare you?
I actually enjoyed the ending for Ex Machina. I really did a lot.
I can hear your face. It was an open ending. Oh, don't do that. Why would you do? Oh, he ripped my face. My beautiful, beautiful, scary face. Why would you do that? That's not nice. Anyway, so this Annihilation stars Natalie Portman, Tessa Thompson, Oscar Isaac. It was actually a very good cast. Gina Rodriguez, and it follows the unnamed biologist played by Portman, who goes searching for her missing husband. Her trek brings her to an environmental disaster zone where she encounters life like no one has ever. Something about a disaster zone where she encounters life. And that dude was
a biologist. So.
The biologist is joined by an anthropologist, a psychologist, and a survivor. Why am I reading this? You're the one who brought this up.
Surveyor.
What did I say?
Survivor.
Sorry, surveyor.
I do not want you.
I am, because I'm reading something that this is your article.
Well, the only thing I said that there was a trailer coming for the movie with the director of Ex Machina. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't want to go in deep into it.
So why didn't you just give me the trailer link? Why did you give me the article?
I don't know, bro. Things happen. What I do want to talk about...
Could you X that out?
I am.
Since you're done with it?
Yes. What I do want to talk about, which is happening this weekend, guys, we have the ultimate fight, Goku versus Jiren.
Why is that an ultimate fight?
Because it's going to be the first time it's going to be an hour-long Dragon Ball Z special. Just like every other Dragon Ball Z fight.
Pretty much.
But this is the ultimate fight. You're going to see a new Goku transformation.
How many more transformations does he have? I mean, enough is enough already.
He has a new transformation where
Giant... Is this a movie? Like, who is this, who is this person?
Giant... It's okay, so right now they're fighting universes. Okay, the universe, Earth, 7, whatever, they're fighting. For... If you lose your universe, your world. So, this is where it's at. I haven't been keeping up much of the anime, but I will be watching this fight because this is a long-awaited fight.
It smells really good.
Oh my god, your face looks horrible.
It does?
It looks so burnt. It looks so, like, shiny in certain parts of your face.
Listen, the things that you do for football, for your offspring.
For football! Don't say, hi! So, yes, I'm excited for Dragon Ball Z. Are you going to watch it with me Saturday night?
I'm going to watch it, but I don't know what's happening anymore. I stopped following
after the movies, I was enjoying
the movies, but then, of course, they did the new series and they retconned the movies.
Yes, they actually did.
And so I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm done. So I don't know what's happening anymore.
So you're going to see a new Dragon Ball Z transformation, guys. Check out that out ASAP this Saturday. It's going to be an hour-long episode. So do your thing, guys. Watch it, learn it, live it, and be with it. Now, during last week, we actually got a Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer breakdown.
Do you need me for this so I can go check my face?
No.
Thank you,
I'm going to be hitting the play, and I'm going to be talking to her. So, we're watching right now the guy, a horse walking down a field.
You got some money for me, boy? Seen your name in our ledger.
You're a wanted man, Mr. Morgan.
Maybe when your mother's finished mourning your father, I'll keep her in black on your behalf. We got lawmen in three different states after us. They chased us from the west, they chased us over the mountains. Need an extra gun. This place ain't no such thing as civilized.
You're the only one of these fools that I trust.
Where's our money?
You have my back. Always.
So, Red Dead Redemption 2, spring 2018, you can pre-order it now, check your local game store for it. I'm excited for it. I'm really, really, really excited for it. I've been waiting for a sequel for a long time. It looks like it's going to be a sequel. You're finally going to get to be able to use some of the nature weapons, which I call homemade arrows and bows. So I'm really excited to see what Rockstar has done with this map, just like they did with Grand Theft Auto 5. A beautiful map, very big, and hopefully they can do the same thing for Red Dead Redemption. So, guys, check that out. Hopefully you guys will like it. I want to hear your feedback on the trailer and what you expect for Red Dead Redemption. As Vibe is selling
but
down...
But that was a game, right?
Yeah.
So why was that in the video game section?
Because Pokemon wasn't in the video game section before, okay? I want to hear your...
Don't talk to me like that on the podcast, all right?
All right, so Kessel Run. Vibe has something to tell me about the Kessel Run.
All right, so... Juancho and I had a on-the-clock...
I'm being excited for the Kessel Run.
Go. We had an on-the-clock...
Do you even Kessel Run, bro?
I don't, obviously. We had an on-the-clock... And stop interrupting me! Discussion about this where I thought that the Kessel Run was a race because in the new canon books, wasn't he like in charge of some kind of racing? In like Bloodline, I think he was a racer. So I thought maybe that the Kessel Run... It only helped reinforce that the Kessel Run was a race. Now, apparently, Juancho said, no, I'm wrong. So please, by all means, school me and those who don't understand. What is the Kessel Run? Does it matter that he did it in 12 parsecs?
The Kessel Run is a part of the map where it's where the smugglers try to smuggle their spices through. It came to a point where the smugglers were saying, you know what? we can do this faster than you can. We can get there. We can get the spices to the location faster through it. Hence, the 12 parsecs.
Now, is this the canon explanation?
This is the explanation that's there, what the Kessel Run is. Hopefully, they'll get the canon version when the Han Solo comes out.
Okay.
But that's what the Kessel Run is. And it's not how fast you travel, it's the amount of time it took you to get to that location. I think it's the same thing. No, the way you explained it is different. It's not how fast you were going. It's completely different. I forgot the explanation of the 12 parsecs, but it's not how fast he was going. It's the amount of the distance it took you to travel there.
Okay.
So that's where the famous 12 parsecs came from.
So that being said, what does this mean for The Last Jedi? The Han Solo movie.
We're going to finally be able to see it. That's rumored.
Would you like to elaborate with this entertainment.com?
Entertainment.com says, can anyone translate for me? Howard's asked on Twitter, the image of a piece of crumbling ruins with three symbols carved into the stone, adding to the intrigue in the hashtag McQuire. No doubt a reference to Ralph McQuire, that legendary concert artist who designed the initial looks of for the character of the first original Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
Among the early treatment of R2-D2, C-3PO, and Chewbacca, McQuire designed the iteration of an old Han.
McQuarrie.
That was said to be more of a mentor. While many of the concepts went unused, some served as an inspiration for later films. For instance, Jakku Market, where we find Rey, and Star Wars The Force Awakens, to be influenced by McQuarrie's illustration of Jabba the Hutt's palette. Could that be the case within whatever being teased below? As further for food for thought, McQuarrie's design of concept of location called the Temple of the Blue Leaf.
Sorry.
I hate you.
Scott Howard previously released.
Howard previously released for something spicy, which means many fans took as reference to the castle, the home of the dangerous spice mines, and where the Millennium Falcon completed the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, or Han Solo says.
Well, I mean, it's a legend. Everybody knows about it, so it's gotta be proven somehow, right? Okay, cool. Did you want to say anything more about that? Wow, Juancho, you are a flappy bird amongst flappy birds. Okay.
Talking about flappy bird, iOS 11, the most recent iOS, no longer is going to let you play flappy bird.
Okay, carry on.
So, no more flappy bird, guys. It's Don Hammond. So, no more flappy bird.
Okay, since I don't really know what that is, can you tell our listeners, what is Flappy Bird?
The game where it made the guy who made it billions of dollars, and he just took it off because you were supposed to get this bird through little pipes, and now before it fell into its abomination of destruction.
Was that the flapping, and then it dropped?
Yeah.
I know, there was a lot of, weren't there variations of that?
Yeah.
So why did they get rid of it?
I don't know, the guy just one day decided he wanted to get rid of it. He became too famous. We'll make a stupid game.
No such thing as too much fame.
No, actually, I think that's what happened. I don't remember.
Well, that's anticlimactic.
Sorry, sir.
Super, super anticlimactic.
Orville.
All right, we're going to break this.
Have you enjoyed the Orville episode 3 and episode 4 so far?
Negative.
I've enjoyed it.
I haven't.
I enjoyed it so much.
The Orville, like I've been saying from get-go, is like it's... They take themselves too seriously. There's no balance between the seriousness of it and the humor. It's like trying to throw Family Guy style humor into Star Trek or Deep Space Nine during the Dominion War. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't mesh.
I liked it. I really liked it.
You can't go from "you cheated on me," but Ebanana's cool. Like, how do you do that?
I'm enjoying this episode. I really have enjoyed it. Maybe it's just my sense of comedy that I like, but I'm enjoying
I like the comedy, but it doesn't work
the
very well.
The show works for me. It works for me.
Juancho, it doesn't work.
But it works for me.
Why does it work for you, Juancho?
Because it makes me laugh every single time I watch it.
But it's not comedy the entire time. Actually, it's comedy a third of the time.
It makes me laugh all the time. I really laugh all the time when I'm watching the show. I really enjoy it.
I'm sorry, but the show is not what I thought it was going to be.
Okay, well, Juancho likes it, and I'm going to continue watching it.
But no, that's it? What's wrong with you? Season episode 3, let's bring it up. Episode 3, break it down.
The girl. So, the Borgs that look like poop, lay an egg, and they hatch.
The wannabe Klingons.
No, they're not going to be Klingons.
They look like Klingons.
The other ones are the Klingons.
Who?
The
girl?
No, that's not Klingons. The other ship. They're the Porgs. They look like poop. They lay eggs. They're all, their whole race is full of men.
They remind me of Worf.
So if they get a girl, a girl Borg, and it turns out that they wanted to turn that girl into a boy.
Wow, you suck at this. Okay, so basically, the idea is at the end of episode 2, they find out that they want the same sex couple, because this particular race is all men. They have the egg hatches and they say, oh, it's a girl. Let's skip to episode 3. It's called, I think it was About a Girl or About a Girl.
Yeah.
And so basically, every once in a while, it's a rare mutation, apparently, where they say that they hatch an egg and it's a girl. And this particular race of species find the female race, the female gender, to be weak. So what they do is they have this controversial thing where they actually do a sex change of the infant into a male. And this basically is the crux of the entire episode. It's a clash between human values and this race's values, because he wants to change the child to male, like part of their tradition, mm-hmm. and he's asking for the doctor on the ship to do it. She refuses. He asks the captain to make her do it. He refuses, and then he reaches out to his people, and they come over.
And they do it.
And it's a little deeper than that. In the end, the main character that's a ship officer, he gets convinced that he wants to keep her a girl. His mate wants to make him a boy, like tradition is. They actually go to trial where they try and bring it up, and they use the smoking hot petite but really strong the security officer, yeah, to show proof that she is, that the females can be strong. In the end, they lose the case, and their baby girl gets turned into a male. And that's how the episode ends, and it really hurts the officer on it, but they move past it. This is my point right here. They are talking about transgender, mm-hmm. the topic of transgender.
Exactly.
What, and they're treating it like a serious issue. What business does the Orville, with Family Guy humor, have trying to be that political and that serious?
Well, that's Family Guy not trying to be political.
No, Family Guy is satirical. They do it tongue in cheek. They don't ever mean it to be taken seriously, ever. Lately, you know that for a fact.
Lately, all these shows have been taking everything to very political. Have you noticed
very
that?
Very true, and it's fine if that's the kind of show that you have. But the Orville is a tongue in cheek satire of
I things. Guess they're trying to get a little bit of everybody's opinion on the show and try to acquiesce.
I think that the way they handled it was bad. Yeah. It was poorly executed. I didn't like it. I didn't like the melodrama. I didn't like the jokes that they were having in it as well.
Gave me a headache.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't like it.
Very true.
You know, they tried to prove their point to change the first officer's idea about changing the child into a male by having him box the security officer, and she beats the crap out of him.
Yeah,
and then she's like, so a girl's, you know, silly now? Like, that was stupid. I'm sorry, Juan, but they were tackling a topic that they had no business trying to tackle.
That episode itself was weird.
In any serious nature, they had no business tackling it.
No, very
because
true.
It did not come off right. It was the wrong show, the wrong medium. The jokes fell flat, and they were trying to be heavy-handed and serious
about it. Episode 3 was really offering, but I did enjoy episode 4.
So we're going to move on to episode 4. Bring up episode 4.
Episode 4 was they find a ship that's stranded. It turns out that it's a bio... Is a bio living ship? Where
yes, it's a huge ship, and
recyclable air.
It's an artificial biome ship.
Exactly,
yes.
Artificial biome ship. Felt mostly like the Amish country.
Where not really.
It had a feel to it, like very like country style, like living.
But they had civilization. They had trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
And modern day things like we would see.
So the episode is the first time you actually see a very serious part of it when they're shooting them. I never thought that we will see someone like bleed through this show.
Why?
Because it's supposed to be comedy. I didn't think anybody.
It's supposed to be comedy. Compared to the transgender esque show. I mean, after that, all bets are off. I don't. I have no longer. I'm going to be surprised about anything.
So then we continue. They find they go in the ship, and they talk to the people. They're like, they don't even know they're inside a craft. Then they split up. one team goes somewhere, the other team goes to the other side of the ship. One of the teams gets captured, taken to the city where one of the CEOs is shot and is left there on the ground.
That's the security officer.
That's the security officer. She's shot. And the ex-wife is taken to the city.
It was the XO, the first.
Yeah. Right. And then the captain goes and rescues them, and then he tries to rescue them. And that's where you start seeing...
She gets tortured.
Yeah, she gets tortured the crap out of her. They torture her, like, a lot. Even when she was getting tortured, she was trying to tell jokes, but I didn't feel very funny.
So what do you like about the show?
I enjoy the show.
So what was the underlying theme of this? Did you get the underlying theme of this episode? What were they tackling in this episode?
They were trying to tackle people being blinded by
religion.
Exactly.
They were tackling religion in this episode. You were taking too long.
I want to get long, bro.
Not just religion, but firm beliefs.
Exactly.
And again, the show, it fell flat and stale trying to pursue. The idea is that a civilization was placed on this ship, and this ship was supposed to be a scout ship, and it broke down. And we find out later through a very awesome cameo by Liam Neeson, yes. By the way.
So yummy.
Basically, what happens is that this is supposed to be a scout ship, and it was supposed to be a generational ship. They didn't have FTL drives, so they knew that generation later, we're going to colonize a new planet. They were sending them there. What happened was their ship broke down and was adrift, and eventually the civilization forgot that they were even on a ship. The ship was so large that it created an artificial civilization, and they grew there, and they had technology there, and they developed a religion and a set of beliefs. The episode was about challenging beliefs. What happens when a civilization's beliefs are challenged, and what lengths do the hierarchy go to protect that belief? So there was a main character. He was like, it was kind of like the president / the pope. He was the head of this, the religion, and head of the pastor, whatever you want to call him, the head of the government. And when he was presented with the, he had a feeling that the world wasn't right. That everything they saw, that there was more than the world that they existed on, right? And that actually took, that's the only part about that I liked, and I'll get about that, about my personal beliefs. But when he always had an inkling, but when the truth was beginning to show him in the face, when these aliens, these humans started showing up, they went, they captured him, and they're like, well, what do you know about this? And who are you from? Where are the rest of your people? He was trying to preserve the status quo, thus not to lose his power. And so it brings up the question, if the hierarchy, both in religion or government, find a revelation that changes the foundation of what we believe, what we perceive to be as reality, would they tell us? That is what they were trying to convey poorly, by the way, in this episode. I respected their attempt, but that was what it is. There was more of like a political, religious undertone for this episode that they were trying to convey, and I didn't like it. In the end, they found the ship's core area. They released the sky to show the stars, to reveal to everybody that you're on a ship, and pretty much left them to their own devices.
Yeah.
Good luck, and hope you figure things out.
Yeah.
Now, why I appreciate this is because, if anybody knows me, I'm a very controversial individual. I don't believe, I'm a show me kind of guy. And I can admit this, and actually this is going to be the first time I'm admitting it, both on camera and on air. I am a globe Earth skeptic. I don't necessarily believe that what NASA tells us is actually true. I don't, because all we have is what NASA says.
I believe in the globe.
Okay, whatever. But the question is, just like what was proposed in this episode, if NASA flew up into the sky and saw that our Earth was anything different than the globe that we were told, would they tell us? How far would they go to prevent us from knowing the truth? Would they fake a moon landing? Would they lock off the Antarctica so we can't go there? Would they prevent certain explorations and certain things on purpose so not to show the truth of our world? Is it possible? And I've always believed that yes, that to preserve the status quo, to preserve your power, you will prevent the masses from knowing the truth because you know you'll lose your power. And that is what the Orville episode 4 was trying to show you poorly. But that's what I respect about it. But still, the show is not my favorite, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing. He is such a sarcastic prick. That's him clapping right there.
Good job, Vibe. So proud of you. Make me cry.
I'm just saying.
Just like I'm going to gift you this. I enjoy episode 1 of The Gifted. I want to see where this goes. I want to see what happens to the mutants.
Can you explain the gifted concept?
So, the gifted. The mutants are being prosecuted, trying to capture it by the Sentinels.
Sentinel program.
Yeah, Sentinel program. And they are...
There's a bunch of humans that have, like, robotic things. Those things are cool, exactly. By the way. I won't even lie.
But then, the two characters are children, correct? Two of the main characters are children who are escaping after being bullied.
Well, the main characters are family in general, but the two main mutants, I guess, are the kids in it.
But I actually enjoyed it. I want to see what happens more. I really starting to enjoy it. I mean, I left with a lot of questions. The way it was presented was very slow. I kind of guessed, but you know, pilots usually tend to be slow at times.
Yeah, just to build a world.
So... I think they spent a lot of time building it. I think they should have done a little bit better with the character that let the guy escape, that they capture, and they imprison her, that she's able to, like, blow things up.
Yeah, I know you're talking about that. Her. Yeah. She does not blow things up. She has telekinesis, yeah. I believe, or is it metal? I think it's metal she's using.
I think she uses metal.
No, it's metal, yeah. She's able to control metal. I think there's a rumor that she's Magneto's daughter. But,
ooh.
Yeah, there's a rumor about that's Magneto's daughter, which is very interesting because I don't know who that is. I thought Magneto only had two twin kids or two kids.
And
that
then
was
they came
whatever.
Off?
Who? Max, you know, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are Magneto's kids.
I know right? They are.
So I didn't know about
but
this
other
one.
But this is during the X-Men universe, not the Marvel canon universe.
Right, it's saying the X-Men universe, but it's saying that both the Brotherhood and the X-Men have vanished. When in the universe did they vanish?
They did.
When?
In one upon, remember, after they took over?
Huh?
Remember after that one of the scenes where Wolverine had to go back and then they killed them off and they were killing them off? You think this is during that timeline?
It could be during that timeline, but so early, they disappeared so early that, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
or is this after Old Man Logan?
No, it's not after Old Man Logan.
Because
remember,
the X-Men all died.
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe it is after Old Man Logan.
Because all the X-Men died.
No, but by then they should
you
have...
You only had the kids, though.
No, but by then they would have had the actual Sentinel robots.
No, but in Old Man Logan, you didn't have the Sentinel robots.
No, because the Sentinel program wasn't chasing after
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Oh.
So that makes sense. That timeline makes sense. I enjoyed it. I want to see more. I'm still being skeptical that it's not going to be good because Fox and Marvel does not do good with TV shows other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. later on. But
that's not Fox. That's ABC.
Well, and talking about in general, all the shows that Marvel does on TV aren't
that
good.
Yeah, TV shows aren't really good, yeah.
So, I'm crossing my fingers.
I didn't like it. I thought the graphics were decent for a show. I did not like the two mutant kids. The little girl, the high school girl, she was kind of cute, but I didn't really like her acting. The you know what made me really upset was when they captured what we assume is Magneto's
daughter,
he says, "You have a medical condition." Let me ask you a question. When he says you have a medical condition, what did you think immediately?
Like, she's dying?
No, you saw the scene, right? She's in the glass prison.
Yeah.
Okay, and he says, you know, here's your medical condition. Maybe you should think things over. What did you think?
I thought about that beginning where they were X-Men 2, X-Men 3, where they were giving the shot to try to get rid of the mutation.
Right. That's not what I thought. As soon as the father is a DA, he's a lawyer, and
yeah.
he represents these mutants and these when they are captured that are dangerous.
Correct.
And when he said, "This is your medical condition. You need to think about your options." I immediately knew she was pregnant. Immediately, the first thing I said was, she's pregnant."
Is she pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she was.
She's pregnant. The first thing I thought when he did that, I said, "She's." I remember doing, she's pregnant." Why? They set it up. Oh, she was kissing the guy in the beginning. And yep, I knew it immediately. Because they're going to give her that, you're pregnant, you want to get out of here, so you're going to have to, like, you know, betray the people. And the minute that became a reality and they said she's pregnant, I knew it was one of those shows. I should not be able to just look at the show and already start, in the pilot episode, already start piecing it together.
Hey, you're a good man.
You know? So... after that, I was just kind of just sitting there just watching it because I know Juancho wanted us to review it. I didn't like it. The father's acting, kind of bland.
Yes, yeah, very true.
The mother, she
shouldn't have been there.
She irks the crap out
she
of
does.
Me.
She does.
She should have been...
Her character annoys me.
She should have been collateral damage.
The kids, I actually like the characters, and I like the mutant characters.
I don't. I think they're... I mean, I like Jamie Chung's because I think she's hot. But as Blink, the same Blink we're going to see in Days of Future Past, I don't know. Do I see... No, I don't. But I think the mom... I think what they should have done, they should have casted a lesser actor in the mom role, and they should have had the mom die. They should have had the mom be the center focus of the episode, the father be like the dad who's kind of there, but not kind of there because it's all about his work. She should have died in episode one to show the stakes, to really raise the stakes and see, listen, the Sentinels program, the Sentinel agents, you know, they mean business. They're legitimate because they were portrayed as screw-ups. I'm sorry. These are just kids with powers. You're supposed to be an organization that captures mutants. And they're able to get past you, and just because this guy happens to be a lawyer, and a lawyer, I thought he was an agent for them. He wasn't.
No,
he's just a lawyer.
Yeah,
that knows
all the representation.
Exactly. He just knows all the Sentinel administration. That's enough for him to get by and keep slipping out the way. I'm sorry. And by the way, when that first thing happened, and they used bullying, of course, as the catalyst to make the kid go.
Yeah.
Again, that too cliche, but he tore apart the school gym.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
You suspected that these kids were involved. You sent two agents to the house? Just two agents?
A Sentinel agents.
Come on, Juancho. You're talking about a mutant.
Do you know why they sent only two agents? Because of the father. I'm pretty sure because of the father. They wanted to be like, okay, you know, if the father's here, let's see.
It has nothing to do with it.
And then they send the whole army afterwards. The whole police staff.
Afterwards. But you should have surrounded that home. I bet you, if they surrounded that home, and they used some kind of common sense. Remember, this mutant leveled, pretty much, a high school gym.
Pretty
enough. True. You don't send two agents. You have to come with us. No. You send two agents, and you do what? Marvel got it right.
Yeah.
What did Marvel do when they recruited the Hulk? They sent him Black Widow.
Yeah.
With what? Support of Special Ops.
Very true, very true, very true.
So, just in case she didn't get through to him, Special Ops was going to try. All they had was the two agents. And guess what? They were stopped by what? Blocking some water that solidified. They presented the Sentinel Agency as inept and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And not a threat. I don't feel that they're a threat at all. And... that's the point. It just feels like a by-the-numbers chase runaway thing. And am I going to follow it? If Juancho forces me to, yes. We'll review it every week. But I didn't like it. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about The Orville and The Gifted. Because let me just run out. Legion, compared to this, I'm sorry, Juan.
Oh, it's
Cho. Yeah. Sorry, Juancho. I love Legion. Did you even watch that show?
No.
You're such a prick. Juancho, he said you need to watch Legion. I watched it. I loved it. Legion was a psychological thriller set in I don't know where it's set, but in the X-Men universe, okay? Compare that to The Gifted, and I'm just like... But I digress. If you loved it, you're more than welcome to love it. It was pretty cool with the graphics. I see what they're setting up, but I'm not thrilled.
It's a setup. So let's see how it goes. I'm crossing my fingers it gets better. And sad news, guys. I know we're moving forward from this topic now, but Rick and Morty season 3 has finally ended this movie.
A moment of silence for the season finale of Rick and Morty.
So we're back.
So
we're going to start with episode 9, the ABCs of Beth. We're going to break it down real quick, not going to get too much detail with it, because Vibe didn't really like this episode, so I already know what he's going to say. This gets into the mind of Beth and why Beth is the way it is. This episode sets up the belief that Beth is a clone of herself. Rick, at one point, tells her, you know, you could escape. I can make a clone of you. You don't have to worry about it.
Don't you jump into the very end of this?
I'm going to shoot because I want to get into episode 10.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Okay.
Hold on.
No, Juancho, you're not just going to skip to the end of
that. I don't know what you're going
to
talk crap about episode 9 and 10. I should enjoy these episodes.
I talk crap about it, but I at least give the listeners
something
to listen
to. Can I finish?
Finish, you're going to the end of the episode.
Can I finish?
The episode starts with...
I want to get to the end and then get to the middle. Where the guy's eating the babies.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys, he just said he wants to get to the end so he can get to the middle.
Yeah.
No, Juancho.
Damn it.
It starts with Rick. What? It starts with Rick, and he sends off, for the B subplot, Morty and Summer in a bubble that they can't breathe in. All the way to Jerry, all the way to Jerry's house because it was their time to be with their dad. And what happened? What instigated Beth to talk to Rick? I forget.
Because she was talking with the kids, and the kids are like, aren't you supposed to be like, and then Rick sends her away, and then they started talking about how his, he doesn't appreciate anything.
Anyway, the fact of the matter is that she then challenges Rick, and Rick brings up Fruity Land, which is a land he created for his daughter so she can frolic and play, and she didn't appreciate it. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I created a whole world for you to be safe in, because you can't die, you can't drown, nothing. And he would leave her there to play around. So she was being ungrateful, so they go in there and they review it, and they see that there is all this mutation and life finds a way. And they don't understand why. The story comes across that there's a ruler of Ruby Land now, because Beth, when she was a little kid, ended up pushing one of her friends, what's his name? Kevin?
Kevin, yes.
Kevin, into honey, trapping him, but you can't die, and leaving him there. And she didn't confirm nor deny it, but obviously it was confirmed that she did that, because, of course, he had a normal family with a dad that loved him, and she was jealous. So for him to survive, he started having sex with the creatures in there, having them give birth, and then eating the babies to survive. So he had an incest, cannibalistic kind of society. And when Rick and Beth show up, they find this out. And
the funny in the back end, Jerry is trying to... He has a new girlfriend.
He has a new girlfriend.
He's a hunter.
Yeah, that he met on some intergalactic Tinder kind of thing.
Souls attached to each other.
Yes, there's a soul bond. They soul bonded, and she's like the predator meets something else. She's like killing things. And because they have a soul bond, he gets actually telekinetic power?
Yeah.
No.
Telekinesis, like he moves.
Telekinesis,
stuff,
yeah. He has telekinesis, but he really sucks at it. So that's the B subplot. In the end, what happened is that Beth wants to save Kevin, because apparently, in the real world, Kevin's father is being put to death for eating his son. I don't know. And it's funny because I'd love to know, where did you come up with that?
Like, they didn't explain it.
That's it. Fine, you killed your child, but why do they think he ate him? Where did that come from?
They didn't explain it.
And because it's funny because it parallels that in the end, his son actually is eating his offspring. So Beth wants to bring him back. He doesn't want to go back. Beth kind of sort of says, I did leave you here to die, and you didn't, but you need to come back to save your father. He doesn't want to save you back. And then she goes into some murderous rampage and just starts killing everything.
He takes all the weapons that he made her.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So he goes back, and she actually says, you know, Dad, I can't believe you made me this world, you know, to just lock me in there. And he goes, Beth, did you ever really think that maybe I made this world to protect everybody else from you? You were a sick child. And she goes, what do you mean? And he brings out all these different toys that she made him play. But my funny one was a teddy bear with anatomically correct insides.
Exactly, right?
And that was crazy. All these different buzzsaws and stuff. And she goes, well, maybe I was just acting out to get your attention. And they
to spend time with each other. That's what she did.
And to get attention.
Yeah.
So she goes back with all these toys, tries to rescue him. He won't do it. He wipes them out. And then he cuts off his finger, brings it back. And that's where, now you can talk about it. He clones Kevin, brings that clone Kevin to stop the father from being killed. And then Beth is like, and she has a heart-to-heart and says, now I have no excuse to not be who I am. Dad, who am I? I don't understand. And then Rick says, listen,
all of Beth need are intelligent. You guys are intelligent just like your father.
Exactly. And there's nothing that matters in this world. You can do whatever you want. And then he offers to clone her so she can go experiment with her life if she wants to, or she can stay. Like, now you can go, Juancho. That is how you do an episode review, Juancho.
And that's how episode 9-10 begins, with her questioning if she's a...
Because... Juancho, you suck at this.
I was going to get there.
Where are we going?
Because of Rick telling her what he told her. Beth makes it believe that she is a clone.
He doesn't do that. At the end of episode 9, what does he do? What happens at episode 9? They leave it ambiguous. She doesn't say anything.
She screamed.
Who?
As soon as he walked out, she screams.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember hearing that. But anyway, she leaves it ambiguous. They clear up the B plot. Jerry breaks up with his girlfriend, and the ex machina is that her ex boyfriend was on the planet. They get back together again. It leaves him alone, and now they get back. Beth comes out with Rick.
And then she's in the refrigerator, and she's looking back at the family, and she touches Jerry's picture.
Correct. And then it cuts to her back in the living room. Rick goes into a portal gun, gets pizzas, and Beth seems just quite a little different. Yeah. She shows love to things. She's like, love. She goes to... No, wait, that's not end of episode 10. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So and that's how that ends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Saying in the refrigerator.
Right, with the refrigerator. No, they get the pizzas, don't they? That was episode 10.
Yes, they do. Yes, yes,
right,
yes.
Right, he goes, I love you, and that's how it ends. And we're all kind of looking at her like, she's a clone. And that's how we all feel when episode 10 begins. Now, episode 10 begins, Juancho.
When her feeling that she's a clone. It begins of...
No, she doesn't feel that way. She that's how we feel. Now, she starts thinking about this in episode 10.
Episode 10 begins with a scene underneath the president of the United States there says that they're the Kennedy sex tunnels. There's an alien. An alien appears, kills the janitor. The president calls Rick and Morty. Oh, you need to call... No, actually, they send...
A helicopter.
While Rick and Morty are playing Minecraft.
No, well, while Morty's playing Minecraft and Rick is
is questioning it.
No, well, yeah, he's
questioning. He's like, why are you playing this?
And on a side note, Theo Star and Joyfire can relate to that because when I say I watched them play Minecraft, now I produce a kid TV show called Minecraft Adventure, and I told them this looks so boring. What are you doing? I'm harvesting to do what? To build my house. To do what? To go back and harvest. To do what? To build my house. I'm like, how was this? How did Minecraft ever take off? So when he started making fun of Morty, I laughed about it because Morty said, "What did he say? It was too mean." He said, "That's mean." He said, "Did your dad create this?"
Like, yeah.
And he goes, "Mean."
So they send the agents to them, and they just portal themselves to the White House. While they go to the White House, they take care.
This is the same president from the Get Swifty episode.
Get Swifty. They take care of the alien, and then they're talking about it. This is boring, and they start questioning as to why the president keeps using them. They're like, "Oh man, this is boring. He only's using us." They go back to the house.
They name drop Ghostbusters.
They do. They go back to the house.
I'm spilling stuff.
And they go back in the couch, and they find out the president finds out that they're no longer in the sex tunnels. The president calls them while he's looking through them through a satellite, and they're in virtual reality world playing with Minecraft.
Yes, and then oh my god, they have they're not in virtual reality world.
Yeah, they have the little gloves.
Oh, okay, and he goes, hey, is this game for autistic people? and he goes, why? He's like, because I'm beginning to love it. So A, it was like only autistic kids will love Minecraft, but then he's calling himself autistic, so it's very interesting that says
and
that.
So then the president then calls him, and then this is where the episode gets good.
It gets good?
It gets really good after this. I love this episode.
Lies! Deception!
So, Rick gets in a fight with the president while Morty's there chilling, looking at his laptop or his phone. And all Morty wanted was a selfie of the president. The selfie refuses to do that to him. So, Rick goes, you need to do the selfie. He goes, no. What do you... You are a living God. You should bow down to me. Well... Rick goes, no, I'm not going to. Then they get in a fight, and then Rick fights him, and he kills a whole bunch of the secret services, and they get to the point where they're in... Before the fight happens, the president goes, I don't need you anymore. I was like, okay, fine. It turns out that there's a civilization in Brazil... Who are nuclear.
I was wondering when you're planning on...
Yeah, they're nuclear.
It's a mini-civilization.
Mini-civilization who are nuclear.
And they get there.
And then while they're there, they're
like going... Like Super Mini, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Small.
The Brazilians are there, and then the Brazilians are like, oh, the Americans are coming, Out of nowhere, the Americans have this high-tech technology, like portals and all these weird technologies.
It's high-tech, but it's rudimentary compared to what Rick has.
And then...
They have, like, a Stargate kind of thing.
And then Rick goes... They pull out this little suitcase and has a little tiny ship. They put it on the floor, and then they spills. And Rick goes, are you guys going to take those pills to shrink? They're going to cause you cancer.
He's like, there's a less excruciating way to get cancer if you want it. And so everybody else, his team, the president's team is like, oh, they're not going to take the pills. He goes, forget you guys, and he takes the pill.
And he's shrinking. And
slowly shrinks.
And then Morty and Rick are making fun of him because like, oh, look, his clothes is not even shrinking. What kind of nonsense is this? So while the president is shrinking, he gets in the ship, he gets to the civilization.
He shrinks and he's naked, and he sees a naked, small, little black cartoon guy
running
across
the ship.
A smaller ship. Like the Magic School Bus looking ship.
When they Actually, we gotta review that Netflix show, so that's the next homework. Either way, movie before we...
I refuse.
You gotta watch it. He gets to the mini civilization. While he's there, the people already gave themselves a name because Rick and Morty were already there. Because they get there faster because they have the ability to shrink faster.
Get there faster, solve it faster, and leave best and precedent ever
best precedent t-shirt.
That will grow with him when he grows.
And when he grows, it turns into a tube top.
Into a tube, yes. It turns into a tube top and it barely covers anything.
So now, there's a situation in Iraq. And then the president...
No, there's not a situation in Iraq. He just...
There was something going on with Iraq.
Nothing going on because I think he just went there and did it on purpose. He solved it on purpose because by the time he... Okay, so what happened was... He went to those mini people. It was already solved by Rick. Rick, they gave him a shirt saying, "Here, here's a shirt that they left for you. It says best president ever." So he, when he leaves them and starts to unshrink, it goes up. It shows only his bottom. All you see is it will wear the pants for it. He goes, "Well, they said that you like to have your dick swinging." So by the time they get back to the White House, I think he calls Rick. Does the name who calls him? Oh, Beth calls him. We'll get to that in a minute.
So he gets
He's actually in a Star Wars cantina with the Prime Minister of Israel and somebody of Palestine.
Palestine.
And he solves that crisis
They're smoking hookah.
They're smoking
while Beth is on the phone with him trying to convince her that she's not an android. A clone.
Because Beth is feeling
Beth is starting to believe that she's a clone.
Because she believes she's feeling a little different about her kids, she's feeling different about Jerry, she's feeling different about everything. And she's like, am I the clone that she has the memory
of
it.
Let's take the part before we finish the part with the episode. The amount of jokes towards ex-President Obama in this series. There was a lot of them. Darth Flex actually pointed several out to them.
Why is Darth Flex here to point them out?
Because Darth Flex sucks. He's excited for My Little Pony, the movie.
Good point. We'll
save him
for
that.
Okay.
Oorah. So... The episode also talks about little different conspiracy theories that the White House has about the moon landing.
I want to get into that after. Let's continue the synopsis.
So after Beth and Jerry and Rick talk, he tells you're not a clone. He has the clone. He hangs up the phone. He solves the issue. The president finds out he's solving all these issues,
but gave him credit.
Exactly. The president calls him, and this is where the fight happens. The fight breaks out in the White House. Rick and him are like destroying the White House.
Why does the fight break out in the White House? Because when he calls him, he's already in the White House and he's demanding the selfie for Morty, and he won't leave unless he gives him the selfie.
And then
that's when the fight begins.
And the White House gets completely destroyed. They get into the East Lawn, and that's when Rick submits him and says, "Take the Morty." He's like, "Fine, I'll take this picture." Then you get Morty that's no longer that takes Rick's portal gun. And goes into the cabin with his whole family, with Beth, Summer, and Jerry. They're hiding in the cabin. While that's happening, Rick stops the whole fight. He says, "No, I'm done. Calls Morty, and Morty goes, "Oh, I'm in a place where you can't belong. I'm with my mom and Jerry." What? Mom, why do you tell my mom that she thinks she's a clone? This is the funniest part. He goes, my mom and dad are back to you. She's like, "No, tell your mom she's not a clone. God damn it, she's not a clone." Now you see the reason of why Rick was so happy that Jerry and Beth were going to get a divorce. Because he was the reason for it. He caused it.
Well, he admitted to that in the...
I know he did. And then you actually see it happening.
Right.
So after that, he leaves. He finds him because the president owes him a favor. So he finds him. He said, "If you want me gone, just do me this. Take me there." He finds him. Rick comes out with, I think it's an M4. Is it an M4 automatic assault rifle?
I have no idea.
It was an assault rifle. And Bethy goes, "Are you here to kill me?" And no, he's like, "No, I'm not here to kill you. You are my daughter. You're not a clone. I'm here to kill Jerry." So... then Rick goes in a rampage like, "You, Jerry, fine, you win. You put your little hands all over this place and you root yourself into them so people can feel pity for you. I give up."
Basically, what they did was they kind of said that, I mean, in a weird way, that Jerry is Rick's nemesis, his arch enemy.
Exactly.
That a callous, super smart guy, his arch enemy is a whiny idiot who apparently has ability to emotionally manipulate people. And I love that dynamic. That even though he has, Tammy and Bird Person, he's got the Federation, he's got evil Morty, and he's actually even got his own Morty, his actual arch nemesis is Jerry, of all people. And I find it to be funny. It also kind of weird because, you know, they had a moment in that area, but I guess it makes sense as well. You know, in that mm-hmm. non-killing
guy. And then after that, they go back into the family, they go into the... As soon as they finish the cabin scene, a fishing Rick goes into the White House and apologizes. Oh, you know, this is a different Rick from a different generation. You can call me. They shake hands. The White House and Rick are good again.
Rick, fantastic fake out. Like, exactly. I even believe
exactly,
it.
Exactly, me too.
I even
then
believe
Rick
it.
Goes back into the house, throws the hands, and here's your stupid hat, Jerry. And then Beth goes, you can't talk to Jerry. Well, everybody's happy that they're getting Panda E. Panda Express. Mm-hmm. It's like super sugar chicken.
I have a sugar chicken.
And the season ends. It ends with
a reset. A pissed off looking friggin' Rick. Not necessarily a reset.
Is this a reset back to like?
Well, yeah, they made it a reset. They said, yeah,
okay,
right.
we're back to what we were in season one.
Ah, the same dynamic.
And then the short film was Mr. Poopy Boho has a
trolled us.
And a son, and says that we won't be back until he has a Santa Claus white beard, and that his son is now has a children.
I think it's funny because that's them laughing at themselves for how long it took them to get season three out. So I kind of like that.
Birdman and Tammy never appeared in episode three.
Neither did Evil Morty. So that's all left in the air.
And this is the way season three ends, which is a nice transition because Dan Harmon wants to take another shot at a 14-episode Rick and Morty season. This is coming from avclub.com. Rick and Morty is an inherently ambitious show, sending its genius and scientific hero and its hapless grandson flying across the universe into whatever sci-fi riffs. I'm trying to write the part here, it says here. And the perch is a funny. Harmon said in an interview, which also contains thoughts of the Game of Thrones, Nebula's paradox, and a character growth in his previously reported comments on sexist knobs, who attacks a show's female writer in an effort to somehow protect it. I can feel it is good enough quality. I think the audience would vote anonymously for the idea of 14 episodes instead of 10 on the condition that the four of them will be the Perch Planet level episode. Dan Harmon and the other writer, I forget his name. I hope you guys, if you guys do listen, or whoever listens, share this one. Please continue the writing. It's amazing. Even though some of the episodes fell flat for certain people, just like Vibe.
It was a roller coaster ride season for me.
The season finished well. It started off rocky and
No,
I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about episode quality. I'm talking about relationship between Jerry. It ended that we don't have to deal with that annoying anymore, because I think the problem with season three was that we were dealing with the divorce of Jerry and Beth.
That was the whole story season arc,
we
and
don't
I hated
have
it.
To deal with that anymore. This hated is why it. This is why I was saying we don't have to deal with that anymore. We can now deal with different things like the evil Morty.
I think the best episodes that I enjoyed of season three was the ones that did not directly reference this, their divorce nonsense.
Juancho will be turning into a Rick. Rick Juancho. I'm Rick Juancho! Can turn into a Pickle Rick, so
I'm going to get you a pickle costume.
And then we will go from there. Vibe, I'm excited for this weekend as well. It's another Morty event. Just like we did on Tate's, on the 20th, we were Mr. Garbanzo and myself. Got the opportunity for this weekend to go see the Rickmobile. We got some Rick merchandise on my suitcase. I have a tiny Rick pin and a t-shirt that I got called Not the Tour something, because they ran out of the Pickle Rick shirts.
I find it quite funny that neither Garbanzo nor Juancho got me anything.
I actually had to...
They got me nothing. They didn't even ask me if I wanted anything.
You want to know something funny?
What?
Funny, I paid for those things.
That's fine, but where is Vibe? Do you want me to pick you up something? I'll pay you back. Even if I have to pay you back, it's fine.
I had no money. I would have bought you something.
I understand that, but all you had to say.
Hold on. But I am going to get you a pin.
No, online. I don't want a pin now.
I wanted
it from the Rick event, the Rick and Morty event.
On Saturday,
Garbanzo,
guys,
I'm looking at you, man. I'm really disappointed in you, Garbanzo, because you of all people should have at least been like, "Hey,
Garbanzo,
can I get you something?"
Was there first, by the way.
He was there first. No, I know your footage.
I got there really late.
There's another Tate's video that's pending, and I'm gonna actually throw the Rick and Morty stuff. Garbanzo and Juancho had the graced us with some cell phone footage of the event, and I'm gonna tack that on before the Tate's Not a Comic Con event video that's being edited. So you guys will see what I'm talking about and what they did. Some good footage. I really appreciate them for doing that. I just wished that they bought me something.
Okay. This weekend, the Szechuan sauce is back. McDonald's will be unleashing its Szechuan sauce on October 12th.
Did you delete the article?
What, the Szechuan sauce?
I had a Szechuan sauce article there for you to read. Okay. Oh, it's too late now. Keep going.
Okay, so we had the Szechuan sauce article. It's coming back October.
It's too late now. Keep going.
On October,
sugar.
3rd. No, sorry, 7th. 7th, sorry. October 7th at 2 p.m. here in Pembroke Pines, we'll be releasing the McDonald's Szechuan sauce. I'll be sending my family members all across South Florida to be picking me up at least 3 containers of Szechuan sauce. I will not open these 3 containers. I will keep them until my children are old and wrinkly. I am going to try it again. I do want to get the exclusive poster. It will be limited edition posters coming out through all these sauces. Now, these are one of the 4 sauces that McDonald's will be releasing during this time for their new buttery milk crispy tenders. They have 4 sauces. 9 legendary sauces. Szechuan sauce, the introduction, signature, honey mustard, spicy buffalo, tangy barbecue, sriracha mac, sweet and sour, hot mustard, creamy ranch, and honey. October 7th at 2 p.m.
You know what? I might actually either I will break my vegan edge just to eat this.
No, if you break your vegan edge, we're having the pot roast next week. I don't care.
But the Szechuan sauce is important, okay? It's important.
Okay, so you live in Pembroke Pines?
Or even location. Better, forget that. Let's get some Szechuan sauce, and when we're doing the video for the Star Wars, we'll have some Szechuan sauce with the Star Wars. Okay. I'll bake you guys some tenders.
Look at this poster, how cool it is.
Where's the Rick and Morty, though?
It's a poster. I don't know, but I want the poster, bro.
Why wouldn't they want to capitalize on the Rick and Morty
stuff? I guess probably they didn't get the approval from Adult Swim to get it.
Get your
Szechuan sauce!
Why are you banging my table like that? Don't you bang my studio.
I'm excited.
Don't you bang a black man's editing studio.
You know why I'm so angry now? Yo, YouTube, do you even care, bro? Go ahead, Vibe. Do your thing.
This is not my article. This is his article. I didn't read this. YouTube's policy on Patreon and their external links with new hit creators.
Do you even care about people, bro?
It hits the creators the hardest. Now, the only reason why I agreed to talk about this is because you guys know that a few weeks back, I mentioned the Geek Bros had their own Patreon page. We do have a Patreon page. It's not completed yet. I haven't finished it yet because I knew this was coming. Since primarily, the bulk, 90% of the content that's created from Vibe Studios and Geek Bros goes on YouTube. I wasn't forcing the issue when it came to the Patreon page because I knew this was going to happen. YouTube has come under criticism from creators who say that they can't link out to their Patreon accounts on videos on their end slates anymore. A YouTube representative confirmed to Polygon that links to Patreon and other external websites, merchandise sites, websites, which is why the Vibe Studios can't be linked, and crowdfunding platforms aren't being removed entirely, but changes are being made. To help combat inappropriate and abusive content, YouTube is asking all the creators to join the YouTube Partner Program in an attempt to better protect the content on the site. Creators are being asked to join the YouTube Partner Program so that they can evaluate the validity of their channel, as well as determine whether the channel is following our community guidelines and advertisers' policies. Again, this is another fallout from the controversy that was happening where advertisers' ads were being played before content that was inappropriate and offensive.
Very true.
This is what's happening. This update is meant to curb the abuse and not to affect current YouTube partners or existing end cards. The issue with YouTube's policy is that it requires users to reach 10,000 public channel views, which we actually have. We have over 100,000. Before creators can apply to be part of this program. This means that if you're just starting out and you have less than the required 10,000 views, you won't be able to link through it. And it's funny because, see how much promotion, the Vibe Studios Sizzle Reel is over 12,000 views. So, I'm saying I already reached that 10,000 views in just one video. I'm very proud of that video. Shameless promotion. So, Juancho, how do you feel about these things? Do you think that YouTube is overreacting to that thing? To that original
issue? I think
YouTube
needs to tighten up, bro. They need to take whatever it is out of the
But you do understand why they're doing it. Yes. Because of the controversy of their ads being run on offensive stuff. And the advertisers pulled a lot of funding because it was like, okay...
Well, then get the advertisers or whoever they need to get the people that just realize that a lot of these advertisements need to portray their content. You're not going to have
Random, Juancho. It's random. Really, you can't choose that. So if I do a video about how Hitler, how Hitler was a great guy, and I'm part of the partner program, Coca-Cola can appear before it randomly. Really? That you don't choose that ad.
Don't want people to hear me die.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm saying that was the issue, is that the advertisers were feeling like, because their ads came before something like that's anti-Semitic, they're like, oh, well, they're approving that this message, when in reality they're not. Kind of like what happens when advertisers pull from an athlete that screws up.
Right, true.
So I understand, but YouTube is being so scared now of winning the trust of the advertisers that the advertisers, they understand the platform that they're on. That's the problem, is that YouTube is now hurting the creators to get the advertisers back. Because you want to know why? YouTube is more about the ads and the revenues now than it is about the content creators. Everybody creates content. You're not special anymore. We need our advertisers back. We're going to hurt you, because guess what? Those who really want to stick around, they're going to stick around. Those who want to complain, they're going to disappear.
Very true.
So that's how I feel about that. And so YouTube, I don't know. I've already said many times that Vibe Studios has transcended YouTube, and we need to move on to bigger and better things. But until then, YouTube is the best platform for all Vibe Studios and our branding Geek Bros content.
Why do you flag us, bro?
So exactly, the flagging and everything like that. And it happens daily, you know. You know, YouTube is making us creators feel slightly subhuman. Dare I say inhuman?
Oh,
oh.
This is a horrible show. I didn't watch it. My, just simple.
You didn't watch The Inhumans?
No.
Juancho. Okay, alright. Sorry, guys. Alright, The Inhumans debuted on ABC to horrible reviews, lackluster comments, and I mean, it's being trashed. I can literally say after watching it that I'm so glad that Juancho and I did not go see it in IMAX. It was abysmal. The acting was terrible. The concept is terrible. And to avoid it interacting with the actual MCU, they stranded the story on the moon and in Hawaii randomly. And that's what bothers me. It's Days of Our Lives with mutant powers. That's basically what it was. It is, the basic synopsis is that the brother of the king. He went through the Terrigen Mist and it turned him completely human. And then the way the Inhumans work on the moon is, if you go through Terrigenesis and you don't get powers, you get sent to the mines. You're like a subclass. And then those who get powers get to live in the cities. And that's the way it's always been. There's a subculture of those that feel disenfranchised. And at first, you think, well, the brother of the king, he should be in the mines too. And they even allude to that, but he says, I have status, and that's why they don't place me there. In the end, he forms a coup that takes over the moon civilization, forcing the royal family to run away. And it was a family drama, family soap opera. Then there's sub stories where the queen marries the king, Black Bolt, but Black Bolt's family killed
but that's,
her
that's,
her family.
The here's the thing about it. You've never read an Inhumans comic book.
No, I haven't.
That's basically what the comic book is. It's a whole family drama.
And that is the reason why the Inhumans is a sub story in Marvel, from what I understand. It's not mainstream. It's Days of Our Lives with powers. And here's the problem: it didn't translate well.
The husband is married. The brother has the father. The husband, the king, you know, has issues with his brother, and the king kills his brother. And it's a family mess.
Basically, from what I can understand, is Black Bolt's family killed his queen's family, and he married her, and then brought her sister over, and then they're supposed to be okay with it.
You know the queen and the king are brother and sister, right?
What?
You know that?
Not in Inhumans, not in TV show.
Yeah, they're brother and sister married.
Well, no, not in the TV show. The TV show, she had her own family, his family killed her family.
They're incest.
Well, that's true, but there was incest between Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and they never alluded to that, and they even killed them off.
Yeah, but this one is straight.
No, in the Inhumans TV show, they're not related, and his family, Black Bolt's family, killed her family for whatever reason, and she's still married. I'm sorry, he pulled up a picture, and I was, who's that? Okay, carry on. So it's a family drama, and I don't like it. I really don't. It was a coup, and he's supposed to be so powerful, but he was so easily taken over, and they didn't explain how he got the allegiance of the Royal Guard, and like, it didn't make any sense. And they stranded all the different characters all across Hawaii, and I'm sorry, I'm not feeling it. How is it that you're gonna tell me that there's been a remnant of these Inhumans on the moon forever? You know?
Black Moon? Moon Desert?
No, it wasn't. So, am I going to follow the show? Yes. Will I probably give you guys a play-by-play of each episode?
I'm not watching the show anymore.
No, you have to.
God dang it.
If you're gonna make me watch The Gifted and Orville, then you're going to watch The Inhumans and you're going to talk about it with me. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it comes back. So, Inhumans is not Geek Bros approved. I don't like it. I'd love to hear if you guys like it. Now, mind you, we've talked about The Orville, episode 3 and 4, The Gifted premiere, Rick and Morty 9 and 10, and The Inhumans. Guys, there's so much we talked about, and we would love to hear what you guys have to say. Send us an email.
This is the longest podcast ever.
Send us an email. Let's talk about it. Or when you're watching us next week, comment below on the video, because it's very important that we hear what you guys have to say. We'd love to talk about it. I'm going to skip that because we have been talking for 2 hours and 5 minutes. I actually had Pacific Rim. We're going to table that for next week because it's not time sensitive. Yes. Juancho, it's over 2 hours, man. How are you doing? You feeling good?
I don't know what to do anymore. I can't speak anymore. I'm tired.
See, guys, we gave you guys an additional 45 minutes additional, you know, to catch up. Because even though we missed a week, we crammed it all up in your ass. You know what I'm saying?
Day. Family
Sorry,
podcast.
Sorry, it's a family podcast. Sorry. So, final thoughts, Juancho, before we wrap this up.
Guys, stay tuned for more content for the Geek Bros. I think now Vibe has got back into the ball of things, so we're going to be getting more video content.
Yes, Vibe has got his balls back.
Just watch, guys. I'm exhausted. I'm sorry, guys.
We've been talking for a long time. We had a long day.
We're not professional radio.
And what
host
you guys
people.
Understand? If you're watching
and
this,
and we get, and they get breaks, we don't get breaks.
It's true. And if you watch us, you see that we're illuminated. There is a hot.
I'm actually starting to sweat a lot
because the AC is off to contain the audio, guys. I have to break it down. I'm Vibe.
This is Juancho.
And thanks for tuning in to episode 18 of Keep 'Em the Geek Bros. Don't forget to check us out every week on WeBeGeeksPC.com,
Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes.
Talk to us, we talk back. We've got social media, ladies and gentlemen. Check us out on VibeStudios.com. That's VibeRev Studios, VibeRevStudios.com. We've got our Instagram and our Twitter.
GeekBros and Facebook.
Okay, thank you. It's all the same thing. Email us, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Outlook.com.
Because we love to talk to you. That's it. As long as we're going to say, are you good?
I'm good. This is Juancho.
And this was, we already did that.
I know.
Okay, thanks for tuning in, and check us